I'm settled in. We got the AC going. Do you have your AC on at home?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Oh,
no.
We toyed with turning it off, and I said, as soon as we do, it'll be 90. And sure enough, that's what happened.
Yeah. I've got overhead fans, so those are going all the time.
We had it off for a while this week, but then over the past 24, we decided, it's got it. Plus, when we heard that the mold count in Chicago this past week was the highest it has ever been.
It was in history. The highest
what
in
the,
our
who,
history.
The, how the?
Yeah. Did you feel it, Ron?
No, not really, no.
Because I was fine until I found out that it was so high. Then I was like, oh, gosh, I got this tickle, and I'm feeling kind of stuffy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ron's doing fine. The rest of us felt very moldy.
Yes. Hey, I know you're happy. Good news about the Cubs.
Oh, it was great. I knew it was going to happen. I really did know that. The Cubs are a good team, and it was just getting it done. It was,
yes,
you know, just like, you know, I knew they were going to get into the playoffs, but you know, you had to get it done.
And but today was kind
of relief.
It was an up and down day, because didn't it start out with the news that Cade Horton was going to pitch?
Yes.
And then the game is going to start. He's not going to pitch, not for 15 days. So I'm sure that was kind of shocking to everybody.
Nothing in Chicago sports is ever easy.
It was alarming, He's our guy. He's probably going to win the Rookie of the Year. And fractured right rib, so he's out for 15 days. So he'll miss this series completely.
Oh, that's sad.
Maybe in Game 5 if they get into the championship series.
Have you ever had a fractured rib?
No, I never have.
It hurts to breathe.
You don't want it.
It hurts to breathe because, and then you have the tendency to want to put a bandage around, you know, like an ACE bandage. But now they tell you don't do that because you could end up with pleurisy because you're not breathing deep enough.
Many years ago, I was dealing with a really bad cough, and I coughed so hard, I wound up in Northwestern Hospital. They thought that I had a heart attack. No, it turns out that I had coughed so hard I broke a rib.
Wow.
He actually cracked a rib. Because you tried to cough really hard during a commercial break. And you tried to get it over with, and I think that's what you did, and you hit the countertop or something. And then I looked at you and I said, "Are you okay?" This was during another commercial break, and you said, "No, I don't feel very good." So immediately security rushed in. They took you over to Northwestern. We were over there. They came out and they said, "Somehow you've just kind of cracked your rib." And you said, "Oh, no wonder it hurts to breathe."
But that was an experience in itself, too, because we were in the emergency ward, and it was on a Sunday night into Monday morning? Somehow it was the weekend, and the emergency ward nurses were telling us about their experiences on the
weekend.
And it was just, oh, boy, was that a learning lesson.
Yeah, they don't pay them enough.
No way.
Yeah. So are you excited about the possibility of getting tickets to the game since the games are going to be here?
Me, no. Yeah. I just don't know that I can afford it. I think I'm fine with watching playoff games in the comfort of my home with a couple of nice hot dogs and a cold brew. And it's a good way to watch a game, you know, or maybe with friends out at a bar. So,
well, Ron, you should know that one of our assembled multitude is the phrase turncoat.
Well, yes,
that we're using because he will be involved, but not
for the
on
Cubs.
Our side.
Have you heard about the keeper of the big plug, Bob? What he's going to be doing? Ron?
No.
You want to explain to the class, Bob?
Well, the same thing that I do for the Bears, I will be doing for the Milwaukee Brewers.
What?
He's going to be doing the engineering.
Frequency coordination in Milwaukee.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So he's going to head up to Milwaukee. And are you going to change your plates before you drive up there so you don't have the Illinois plates on your car?
No.
You going to wear one of those cheese heads?
Thank God, no.
Oh, we've got one for you.
No.
We'll bring it in next week.
We do have a cheese head signed by Les Paul.
Oh.
Which that should get you in someplace up there. Maybe a free hot dog or something. But that's you were told that you would be able to see the Cubs Milwaukee game, and you laughed hysterically, right?
Right. Well,
yeah.
We'll see. Well, Cubs have to win first.
My favorite post, I think it was on Instagram or something, one of the Cubs sites that I follow. They said the only thing we can say is Cubs playoffs, Cardinals not. I thought, ooh.
Don't get to say that a lot, but yeah. When you get the opportunity, you
yes,
take it.
Yes, that's ugly, though.
Yeah. Well, you should see what they do to the Cub fans. I mean, it's a turnabout is fair play.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be fun. The last time we were at a game, it was at the Bartman game.
It was.
Can you believe that?
We honestly were at the Bartman game.
The very last game.
We fought traffic to get back to the station in time.
And then we were like, why are we going back to the station? Dave Kaplan is on the air.
Yeah.
Just bleeding blue.
Yep.
You know?
Well,
why are we bothering? So.
Yeah, it was a crazy game.
It was.
Yeah. I was at the next game.
Yeah.
Sitting in center field, and I thought, because it was game seven, I was actually, I wouldn't say I was happy that they had lost game six, but I wasn't crying because I had tickets for game seven. So
that's true.
Well, good. I get to see them wrap it up. I get to see them go to the World Series for the first time since, 1945.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was all happy and very pleased with myself. And then it didn't turn out the way it was supposed to. So.
But that's history. We're going to look forward into the future.
They have a very good team. Cade Horton will be missed, no doubt, because he's been lights out. Mm-hmm. But they're just going to have to do it. I think they can take care of the Padres. They beat the Padres at Wrigley Field earlier this year, 2 games out of 3. So I think they can do that again.
Heck, I think the White Sox beat the Padres.
We're talking the Cubs.
Nothing
is sure.
Am I right? Didn't the White Sox beat the Padres, too?
Yeah, they did.
I mean, they were like, everybody went, whoa, how did that happen?
Yeah.
So I have faith in the Cubs. I have no doubt that.
And even though the Sox managed to hit their magic 100 losses number, I still have faith in the Cubs because the second half and what I'm seeing,
You have faith in the White Sox.
I'm sorry, the White Sox,
Yeah, they had a good second half, there's no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
They just had a really bad first half. So.
Oh, hush.
Well, that's, you know.
I know, it's true.
That's why they lost 100 games, because most of those was in the first half.
Yes.
So.
Well, we have a great show. Ron, are you familiar with Paul Sebar?
No.
Oh, you love music, you're going to love Paul.
Yeah.
He's coming down from Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
Some people know him from Paul Sebar and the Milwaukeeans, which was one of his groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got a brand new album, and it's so interesting because it's every kind of music you can imagine in one CD. So he's going to be performing live for us in studio, and we're very lucky. We're extending our summer concert series because it feels like summertime in Chicago, so that's our excuse. That's why we're extending it.
Also coming up a little later tonight, Patrick Crispin joins us. We're going to talk computers, and a lot of people have been asking, okay, Windows 10 support ends in a couple weeks. What do I do? We're going to talk about that. And there are options.
Mm-hmm.
Options that don't necessarily mean you have to go to Windows 11.
This is true.
So
we got a lot to talk about tonight. Remember, our number is 312-981-7200. You can get to us via text throughout the show. We just hope you'll stick around with us here on WGN.
Let's see if I can.
If you don't love me, why don't you tell me? Instead of running around with all the other guys in town, can't you see you're hurting me? Don't you care? Don't you care?
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is Carl Giamarisi of the Buckinghams doing the classic Buckinghams hit, Don't You Care. And if you would like to see the video that goes along with that performance, Carl was in studio with us a couple of weeks ago, and you will find the video on our blog. Go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com, and you can check that out. And the video, of course, was done by Julian.
Mm-hmm.
Nice work, Julian.
Very nice. And we want.
Why are we not hearing Julian? I saw his lips moving. I did not hear his voice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
He just moves his lips like that.
That was Julian's choice. And Julian, of course, behind the glass and producing the show. But also in the studio with us, we have a visitor from the far south. Becca Stark, who is our panhandle producer when we broadcast from WKGC, is in the house. Hey, Becca.
Hi.
I like that, the panhandle producer.
That's good.
That works, you know. You're sitting next to the keeper of the big plug and the panhandler producer.
Yeah. So do you want us to get your business card with that on it?
Sure.
Okay. All right.
So you had a crazy big day today. You were up and out of the house at breakfast, and you and your friend Leo went where?
We went to the Field Museum today.
You did?
Yeah. It was pretty much the whole day.
Really?
Like that plus public transportation, so.
Yeah, so you took trains downtown, which was really smart. We didn't even talk about that last night when you turned in.
By the way, I'm hitting the pause button to explain, because this deserves an explanation. Your friend Leo is?
The daughter of Senta Puckett, mayor of Wilmette.
Wilmette, right.
And Leo is called Leo, but her real name is?
Eleanor.
Yes. So okay. In case Leo's listening, you've been busted. You've been outed.
Hi, Leo.
Right here on the radio. And you guys have been friends since you were teens, and you met. Can we tell just a mini version
of
this?
I love this story.
You can tell the mini version.
Okay. You met when you were like 15 years old, when you were in a?
Online forums and stuff for some games that we used to play together. So,
what was the game that you enjoy? Come on.
It was based off of the How to. It was a game that Jumpstart made based off of the How to Train Your Dragon movies. And so we were multiplayer platform game, and we just happened to meet through the forums, and us and a couple other people. So
the four of you have become buddies for all these years.
Would you mind sharing with the class? See, she didn't know we were going to do this.
Yeah, no, not particularly.
The story of how you first met in person, and you're a little bit fear and trepidation as this was happening?
Well, I mean, we all met each other online, and we had done, like, voice calls. We'd seen each other's face. We knew what everybody looked like. First time we all met up was in Missoula, Montana, because that's where one of them lived, and it was just, so we all flew in. I was the last one to get there. So leading up to, like, getting out of, like, the gates and, like, getting into the lobby, the only thing in my head was, like, this is probably real. This would be a really elaborate kidnapping or prank attempt if it's not real. I don't think anyone's going to go through that much effort. We've known each other for too long. It's been,
but it was still going through your head.
It was still going through my head until I saw them at the end of the lobby. I was like, oh, okay, great.
I'm not going to die. This is good.
I didn't spend $800 for nothing.
That is a good story.
Yesterday, we hung out at another radio station. What? Yes, we did.
Once we found it.
Yeah, once we found it. Now, we've told you that Becca, our panhandle producer, is in the house with us tonight. And when we're down in Florida and we're broadcasting from WKGC, Becca is our producer there. WKGC is a public radio station. Mm-hmm. So when Becca came up to Chicago, she wanted to take a look at one of the other public radio stations that we're a huge fan of. And that's WDCB. Mm-hmm. And
out in Glen Ellen on the campus of the College of DuPage.
And really, it took us longer to get there than we spent there.
It was crazy. It's 36 miles from our house. It was a two-hour trip.
This is the classic definition of you can't get there from here.
Wait. So you've got construction on the tri-state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
GPS did not let us know that it was going to be that bad.
Well, speaking of GPS, Becca, uh-huh. We're not lying. Okay. You had your GPS.
Yes.
Johnny had hers.
Yes.
I had the car GPS.
Yes.
All three GPSs gave us different directions to get to the same location, the same address.
No. Actually, we got to the college, but then all three gave us a different location on the college campus with the address of the radio station in our GPS, which was crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were at the hospitality center. I was over at the science center. Yes. Becca was out on the road looking for the
resource center.
It was crazy. And then finally we found out that it was hidden under some trees. It's a lovely facility. Mm-hmm.
That was a great facility. Really and our friend Scott Childers was there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we wanted to find out, because you know that public radio is dealing with a lot of financial insecurities right now.
And challenges.
That's a way to put it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we were kind of sharing information with Scott about what he's doing and what they are going to need to do in Panama City, Florida.
Because they've announced that their drive will be to cover a $140,000 deficit.
Yeah.
And that's the funding that they are losing.
Yeah.
And we know for a fact things have happened at WKGC to the point where a couple of people have lost their paid positions there, right, Becca?
At least my understanding is one person is confirmed.
One full-time person.
Yeah. One full-time yeah. is my understanding.
Right, yeah. right. But they're all kind of wringing their hands, too, going, yeah. ah, because now the morning show becomes a local morning show mm-hmm. as opposed to an NPR-fed yes. morning show. And
let me back up for a second for those of you that are saying, well, why do you care about this? Okay, in the panhandle, WKGC was the only, not just radio station, the only broadcast facility
yeah.
that stayed on the air after Hurricane Michael, giving very important information. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Literally, everybody else was knocked off the air.
TV stations yes. had to yep. resort to doing Facebook.
Social media, yeah.
They were doing live feeds on Facebook because they had lost everything. Their antennas and everything mm-hmm. were down. Yeah. So, and we've used KBRW up in Barrow, Alaska, as an example of a public radio station that is literally a lifeline for Barrow, mm-hmm. Alaska, because you have natives that live there on the top of the world. And when they go out in their whaling boats, KBRW keeps them in touch with people on the land, mm-hmm. which is crazy when you think wow. about it. You think about the role of radio.
Yeah.
But it is literally a lifeline for them. And we mm-hmm. haven't heard if they're even going to survive, if they're yeah. just going to have to close up shop. Now, mm-hmm. WKGC plans on continuing to turn the lights on.
Yes.
But it's going to be a challenge.
For sure, yeah.
Now, you are a volunteer at this yes. point, and that's the beauty of radio. And mm-hmm. how many volunteers did Scott say? They've got a couple dozen people.
They've got a good number of volunteers on their staff, on their roster. At WKGC, it's just me and Tom Hoots, is my yes. understanding.
You two kind of hold the place together.
A little bit.
And that's an important difference, too.
Mm-hmm.
The public radio stations in the Chicago area, WBEZ, WDCB, they will have an easier time of it because mm-hmm. it is a large area
yeah.
with a lot of people, a bigger population. An area like the Panhandle, mm-hmm. smaller population, you don't have the kind of income diversity that you do in the Chicago area.
Right.
So it becomes a whole lot more of a problem to say, mm-hmm. yeah, we really need some of your money. Would you give some of your money to us? And yet it is so important.
Oh. Especially when it's a $140,000 price tag that we're asking for
yeah.
To make up for. That is asking a lot.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be your first year. If you hang in there as a volunteer, you're going to have to work one of the pledge drives. We've done them before because yeah. we used to do them for WTTW.
Sure.
We would show up at mm-hmm. the television station and do things. And after you say the same thing, like for the 20th time, you're like, just give me some money, please, please.
And again, for anybody who's saying, well, why are you guys on WGN talking about this? Because it matters, particularly for smaller communities. Mm-hmm. It is a lifeline. And, yeah, we're going to talk about it. I believe, Becca, didn't you say the fund drive is going to be in December?
Yes.
We'll probably talk with you again in December to remind mm-hmm. people, yeah, this matters. So mm-hmm. if you can afford to do something, please do.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it was fun taking a little trek. We took you through 11 suburbs mm-hmm. and over 8 major expressways and finally ended up with a decent dinner. In fact, it was a delightful dinner mm-hmm. at
Cooper's Hawk.
And let me just say as an aside, if you're gluten-free, hey, thumbs up to Cooper's Hawk. They rock.
And we went to the Cooper's Hawk in Wheeling.
Wheeling, yes.
And we've been there a number of times. I have never had a bad experience. And again,
yes.
for those of you who don't know, long story short, I have to be gluten-free for medical reasons. Mm-hmm. I feel really, really comfortable at Cooper's Hawk.
Right. You've never had a bad reaction. And if you go, ask for Alex. He was terrific, too, because the place mm-hmm. was slammed and they were delightful. So Becca's hanging out with us all night tonight.
Yeah.
So who knows what's going to happen?
Let's turn our attention to...
The mood is appropriate to share with you some news about one of the many, many wonderful people that we've got to know and become friends with thanks to this radio show. For those of you who listen regularly on Saturday nights, you know, back in July, we had a delightful woman on the show. We had her on last year. We were excited to get her on again this year. Alice Selke joined us. And Alice joined us because we wanted to have her on the radio to wish her a happy 107th birthday.
Yeah.
107 years old.
And if you listen to the conversation we had with her, you would not have known she was 107 years old. She was bright. She was funny.
Yes, yes. And we decided later on in the show that we would put the word out. Alice was not aware that we were doing this, that people could send us birthday cards for Alice. So we had a nice fat bundle of birthday cards for her, and we were just about to mail them off to her when, surprise, surprise, her grandson came in from Arizona and asked if he could stop by the station. We said, sure, come to find out. He runs his own radio station, internet radio station. So we were chatting with him. We said, oh, you can take Alice her cards.
Yeah.
So the next day he took them to her, and we got a delightful video of her opening the cards and saying over and over again, why me? Why would they be sending me the cards? Yeah. Well, Alice passed away the other day.
Yeah.
And she was such a sweet, sharp, interesting human being. I'm just so happy that we got to know her and that we got to share some love with her on the radio, because she was a radio fan.
Yeah.
She had her transistor radio on her pillow the final days, because she had her transistor radio with her all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Alice was an extraordinary woman. Those of you who were listening, or if you want to look up some of our podcasts, or go to our blog, and we will... you just do a search for Alice Selke, A-L-I-C-E-S-E-L-K-E, and you will find some of the posts we did about her. But she was... Well, the whole Hoffman Estates fire department wouldn't have been able to function without Alice.
Her. Yes. I'm just going to read a little bit from her obituary. And I thought we covered everything with her on the radio. But I remember we hung up. We said, doggone it, next time we have her on, we have to ask her about. And her memory was just shockingly good, because I have trouble with things that happened last week. And she was 107. And we were talking about things from the 30s. Alice had four children. She had 12 grandchildren, 25 great-grandchildren, and 28 great-great-grandchildren. And some of their posts about their grandma were just so, so special. She and her husband, Carl, had been married for 63 years. He was the fire chief. Anyone who's spent any time in Hoffman Estates, you know that. But as you said, it would not have been running smoothly without Alice.
Well, I love the fact that the fire dispatcher phone was in her living room, and she still has that phone on the wall in her living room.
She was the first dispatcher, for which she did out of her home on Cumberland Street. She
24 hours a day.
24 hours a day. She would laugh when she would tell us about the fact she couldn't go anywhere, so she ended up taking care of the neighborhood kids because she had to be there in case the phone rang so she could call out the fire department. Her husband was the chief of the fire department, and he's being recognized with their brand new fire station there in Hoffman Estates. She had the position as the first dispatcher for 15 years. Because of her being kind of tied to the house, she cared for over 100 children in her home over the years. Many of those children remained in her life throughout the years because of the impact that she made on their lives. She loved and lived in her home in Hoffman Estates for 69 years. And she was just so funny. She had just such a great sense of humor. And two of her favorite sayings, and they mention them at the close of her obituary, is, "Don't take any wooden nickels, and I'll see you on the other side."
Mm-hmm. A very, very special woman that we were so pleased to be able to get to know and to play a little bit of a part. And you, who sent cards,
yes,
you played a part in making her final years quality years.
Sadly.
And letting her know that some people she wasn't aware of.
Yes. Yeah.
Cared about her.
Because she was a huge, huge radio fan, much of it because she was tied to the house for so long.
Yeah.
The radio kept her company, and her daughter, Deb, told me some fun stories about how she used to be kind of a character on the Dave Baum show on WIND.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought, well, yeah, we work there. And so when he was doing a shout out to Alice, that was the woman he was talking about. Yeah, she's a very, very special woman. I'm just so happy that we got to share her story, because her husband being the chief of the fire department, and her son also became a fireman in Hoffman Estates. As we said a couple of times, they could not have done it without her.
And literally.
We wanted to tell her story.
This is not an exaggeration. They could not have done it without her.
Yes. Thankfully, in her final days, she had a little bout with pneumonia, and they wanted to be back at home, not in a hospital. So thankfully, by being at home, family and friends could come and see her and say goodbye. And, you know, that's always a huge blessing.
And if you want to learn a little bit more about Alice, again, go to our blog. Our blog is steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And just in the search bar, just put in Alice, A-L-I-C-E, Selke, S-E-L-K-E. And we'll try and post a link on our Facebook page, too.
I'll put it over on our Facebook page, because I remember we got home after we talked to her that night, and you said, I want to write about Alice right now so I can put that up on Facebook.
And you see some really there's a wonderful picture of Alice with the fire department.
Yes.
It's a very cool picture.
They would come by and bring her flowers, which was really sweet, too. So hats off to the Hoffman Estates Fire Department for recognizing her. And we're just so thankful to the Selke family that they allowed us to share her with our audience, too.
Want to do some shout-outs to some of the countries that are checking out our blog, and this continues to amaze me. And again, you can go to our blog. It's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And this week, we have heard, golly, we heard from the United States.
Good.
And then we heard from Ireland and Australia and Poland and China and Canada and Argentina.
Argentina?
Yeah. So thank you for hanging out with us.
And you said that there was a lot of activity for my recipes.
Oh, yeah. Bunch of people within the past week. A lot of people have been checking in and checking out some of your...
chicken casserole and the apple butter were wildly popular.
Yeah.
And those recipes are available to you. Just, again, go to the blog, and you can even type in the search bar recipes, and gluten-free recipes will pop up.
And also, if you scroll down on the right side of the blog, you will see different categories. Mm-hmm. And we've got... some of Johnny's trees, Johnny's recipes, and a whole bunch of things. So just stroll around the blog and see what you find.
And you probably said this earlier, and I was listening to every word.
Yeah, and you were taking copious notes.
Yes. We have the blog because the day may come when we're no longer hanging out over on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
They may just push us away, because nothing irritates me more than going to things that I've come to know and love, and they've changed it for no rhyme or reason.
And Facebook has been changing. A whole lot of stuff lately.
Things get moved around, people get moved around, and I said, yeah, this is just frustrating.
And there's too much artificial intelligence on Facebook.
Be so careful. We'll talk about this with Patrick tonight, too, because it is worth reminding you. You cannot repeat, share, or even talk about something you've seen on Facebook until you vet it. Find out if it's real.
Yeah.
Google it. Find out if this person, in fact, is giving up their
entire... And go to more than one source.
There's something going on last week about celebrities giving up their salaries for, you know, filling the blanks.
And I saw it I saw about five different posts, the same post crediting different people.
Yes.
This was a selfless act on the part of celebrity X.
Baseball players, football players, Taylor Swift, actors. I'm like, it's the same thing. That's why we have a blog.
Yeah.
That may just be the safe place we'll end up.
And again, because who knows? They may decide to kick us off Facebook or something. So check out steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We would really appreciate it if you would subscribe. There is no cost. What happens is we don't spam you. You get an email anytime we do a blog post. Mm-hmm. I find it fascinating, though. Every time we get, let's say we get three new people that are checking out our blog, it'll take about 3 weeks, and maybe one or two of those will decide, I don't want to email all the time. I'm not going to subscribe anymore.
Well, okay. You emailed me once this week. Yeah. I can't stand it. Go away. That's okay. Scott in Pierre, South Dakota is tuned in as he's taking care of his 11-month-old grandson. Sherry Hanrahan out in Romeoville is with her fur babies, Lucy and Desi. Mark is in Aurora listening on his Sea Crane radio. George Clemens is celebrating his birthday with us tonight. He's in Augusta, Georgia. Oh,
happy birthday, George.
Yes, happy birthday, George. He's a regular. Dean is in Indy. Stacy Drager is in Algonquin. Bob and Sherry are in Arlington Heights. Bonnie and George are in Elgin. Sherry's in Bolingbrook. Jim G's in Wisconsin. Jim is in Richmond, Wisconsin. Doug Youngren is in Naperville. Bing Besh is in Winfield.
Bing Besh. Hi, Bing.
JP is in Peoria, Illinois. Mike and Judy are in Burlington, Wisconsin. Mike Ski in Elmwood Park. David Shine, a SEN graduate, Mount Prospect. Debbie Tusick is out in Sandwich, Illinois. Hey, Debbie. Nora Brozanski is tuned in. Dan Lewandowski is a Norwich native who is listening to us in Wichita Falls, Texas tonight. Pete Lawrence is in Sauk Village. He's actually in a rehab facility tonight. So, Pete, take care.
Yeah.
I'm glad you can tune in. He's a regular. Tom is in Tinley Park. Bill is in Hobart, Indiana. G. Janet in Bethel Park, PA. Margie's in Massachusetts. Stacy's in Delaware, Ohio. See, we're getting out
Hi,
there.
Hi, Stacy.
Yeah. It's that time of the year where the signal gets stronger when the shadows get longer, mm-hmm. right? Eric Baum is one of our regulars who puts up a great picture every week from his part of the world. He's from Wells Beach, Maine. And today's picture was taken from, I've never seen this word in my life, so forgive me, Mount Agamemnticus.
What, wasn't that one of the locations in Thor?
Yes, that's right. I don't know. The tallest point in York County. 692 feet, not that high, but when you live at sea level, it gives a different view. So it's a picture of his convertible. He says our top-down days are probably numbered, and it's a beautiful view out to the ocean on kind of a hazy Saturday afternoon.
So you can check out our Facebook page to see that picture.
Yes. Bobby Danos is our buddy listening on his AM-FM clock radio out in Sandwich, Illinois. John Couture is listening in Warren, Michigan. Go Cubs. Jan Reinhardt, you know where she is, every Saturday night.
In the laboratory,
yes. Peter Jacobowitz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Rich Wade, one of the Chase twins, is usually listening in Troy, Missouri, but he's at his brother's house in Franklin Park tonight. Hey, guys. Susan, I bet they're in town for the Crossroads.
I bet they are.
Concert tomorrow. Yeah. Yes. Susan Powell is in Memphis.
Memphis, thank
Lynn
you very much.
Kinzer's in San Antonio, Florida. She said, if I get home from Honeymoon Beach in time, I will be at home in San Antonio, Florida. Brian Lefevre, thank goodness someone is listening in the area. He's in Bridgeport. Sharon Malone is in K-Town. Roger Camp in Shade, Ohio. Michelle Fairfield is in Peoria, Illinois. Priscilla Gilbert Steig is in Joliet. Elaine McShane is in Island Lake. That sounds like something in a like a Nancy Drew. Mystery mm-hmm. of Island Lake.
Oh, I like that.
I loved my Nancy Drew books. I really do. Can I just thank you publicly for giving me the entire set of Nancy Drew books? One of our first years we were married. Yeah. When I got a Christmas box, it almost killed me when I tried to pick it up.
That was a heavy sucker.
It was a heavy sucker. And I think at that point there was something like 52 hardcover Nancy mm-hmm. Drew books, which I dearly love. Deborah.
And for a while, there were a couple different Nancy Drew TV shows?
Yes, yes. The last one they tried was a little too hip and a little too, made me uncomfortable.
It was on the CW, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Deborah Morasky, forgive me, Deborah, because I think you're new here, and here I've done botched your name. Mary Gold is in Tinley Park. Helen Thomas is in Kenosha. Carrie Johnson in Palm Coast, Florida. Lloyd Moncrief out in Ottawa. Joan Bloom is in Greenfield, South Carolina. Tracy Douglas in Savannah, Georgia. Nancy Hollins is listening in Northbrook. Debbie Hardiman in Waukesha. Beverly Goodall is in Highwood. Robin Aiken in Port Charlotte, Florida. Carl Stevens is in Horton Bay, Michigan, on the lakes. Oh, I shouldn't even go here. The shores of Lake Charlevoix, V-O-I-X, Charlevoix, Michael Freeport just checked in from Florida. He says, come see me at the Publix in Watercolor, Florida, over on 30A. We'll do that, Michael.
Watercolor is a beautiful area.
It is, yeah. Evelyn Tranbarger is in Cincinnati, Ohio. Carol Worth is in Ingleside. Looks like we got Susie Schimmel listening in Glen Ellen, Donna Youngheim in Oak Lawn, Rosemarie Gleason in, you know, Annie Oakley Ranch out in Grove, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Luis Olivo is in Cicero. Rob Mecklen is listening. Margot Moore is in at the International Balloon Festival in Albuquerque. That is on my bucket list. I want to go to that balloon festival because it's absolutely gorgeous. I don't want to go in a balloon.
Right.
Because the closest we ever got was in the basket.
Out in Lyle, we were in the basket. And
oh, my gosh.
All set. We were supposed to be broadcast. We were with Ian Punnett.
Oh.
And we were supposed to be broadcasting from the balloon at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival.
Yes.
And it was one of those days when, I mean, we're in the basket. Getting ready to take off, and they got word from, was it the FAA that said,
yes,
you know, the wind is just too much.
No, the FAA said, we understand you want to broadcast. You cannot do that. It was a broadcast no-no.
See, I thought it was a combination of broadcast no-no and the wind.
Oh, we may have said it was the wind at the time. But I remember when they turned on the flame, I went, oh, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
You have singed the top of my hair. I don't need to be here. The man's wearing these big old gloves, and my head is right under this flame. It was terrifying. It's beautiful, but it was terrifying. And quickly, I'll mention Paul Osha is in Plant City, Florida. Cannot say that without thinking of Bob Collins.
Yeah.
His old stomping grounds. Roy Phillips is in Illinois. Tom Murphy's in Lakeland, Florida. Another one for Bob. Patrice Tentari is one of our regulars in Northwest Indiana. Ann Hill is in Peoria. Brian Haig is out on I-55. And Connie Sunderhaus is listening. Bonnie Pearson's in Grays Lake. And I think I got everybody. Marie Prudence is in Evergreen Park. Chuck Snitchler, as I always like to say, he's the best friend of this here radio station. And
hey,
we love the fact that Chuck is listening. And Diane Vasquez put together another beautiful graphic for us. She does that every week. She's our graphic guru and gremlin, and we appreciate that, Diane.
Speaking of Diane, reminds me we're going to have to come up with some rabbits because we are quickly approaching the 1st of October.
Yes, yes.
By the way, speaking of the calendar, one of our monitors in the studio is tuned to Channel 9, and I want to take a second to give a shout-out and congratulations to Mike Jensen, who I understand as of today is celebrating 15 years being with Channel 9.
Really?
So congratulations, Mike.
I had no idea. He melts a microphone when he opens
his
mouth.
He really does.
Because that voice is just so easy for him to just...
In fact, I would never want to get Mike and Orion Samuelson in the same room. It would just... the tower would fall over.
Yes, it would just... A flaccid tower is not a good thing when you want to be broadcasting.
You know, if Nick DiGilio was doing out of context, that would make it.
Straighten up over there. I want to quickly mention... this just in, Steve.
Yes.
This is Gail Maslin. She said she wrote a comment on our Both Sides Now blog, but she wasn't sure that it got through. She said, I'm listening tonight. Last week I said I was listening across Lake Michigan in Lake City, Michigan. And Johnny said I was in Lake Michigan.
Well, what do you mean by that? I'm in Lake Michigan.
That's right. I think she was hanging out with a bunch of girlfriends, and I said, I want to be there in Lake Michigan with them.
Yeah, and I apologize because I usually check all the blog posts before we come into the station, because once we're in the station, I don't...
You're multitasking.
I don't log into the blog here because I have a separate account that I use at the station and don't use our personal accounts on the computer at the station.
Too much information. Yeah. Come on.
Well,
have you seen the 1930s Nancy Drew movies with Benita Granville? Yes.
Yes.
I love those Nancy Drew movies. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Rudy Tooty. Okay.
The wheels are falling off and rolling. Yeah, 90 early. Minutes. 90 minutes
and
into
Paul
the show.
And Paul Sebar hasn't even come in the studio yet.
But you know what? He's a radio broadcaster. We could just walk.
Yep.
We could just leave it.
We
leave
may
it
just
all
turn
the...
it over to Paul.
Yes.
Yep.
Uh-oh. I just erased everything in front of me. That's not good.
I should mention, speaking of guests, we should mention a little later tonight, Patrick Crispin's going to join us. Boy, do we have a boatload of things that we're going to talk about for all kinds of technology. Those of you who are wondering, what do you do when Windows 10 support ends, we'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Next week, we will talk about cars with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. Also, Tommy Emmanuel is going to be joining us next week. He has a brand new album that is coming out in a couple days. It's called Living in the Light. And Tommy is going to be appearing at Khan Auditorium in Evanston on October 15th. Which also reminds me, adjust your scorecards. We had told you that in mid-October that we were going to be down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We have had a schedule change. So we're going to be here through the holidays, and then probably after the first of the year, we're going to be heading down with our panhandle producer, Becca.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to get her a card.
Or at least a T-shirt.
Panhandle. Yeah. Becca, do you want a card or a T-shirt that says panhandle producer? We could do a T-shirt too.
Yeah, do T-shirt.
You want a car? Okay. All right.
You just said the holidays, 90 days till Christmas.
I know. The
I'm
heck?
Like double digits.
What the? How the?
God, that's crazy.
No.
And I actually did not believe that when I saw it in print. And I sat down and looked at my calendar and I counted, okay, 5 days, 31 days, 30 days, 25 days. Oh, my gosh. It is 90 days.
That's
till
like
Christmas.
3 months.
It just sounds worser when you say 90 days, right?
Okay.
Or fine. Better, you know, depending upon your perspective.
Yeah. So is it too early to start Christmas shopping?
No, because we have to talk about this later, how popular Halloween decorating is this year.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like off the charts. It is trending. Decorations have gone viral, and we were there first. I'm telling you, we
yeah,
were there first.
Yeah, we really were.
We got our trees up and everything. Coming up, we have Paul Sebar right here in the studio with us.
Who's been nice enough to drive down from Milwaukee and hang out with us. Hey, Paul, how you doing,
Paul?
Buddy?
Hey there. Good evening, everybody.
Congratulations on your new CD.
Thank you very much.
It's some good stuff.
In fact, Paul, I will share with you, candidly, our opinion of this. Johnny listened to it by herself. I listened to it by myself. We both came together and had the same thought. What a wonderful collage of different sounds, different
styles.
Genres. It is a wonderful album.
Thank you very
Congratulations.
Much.
But that's who you are, right? You are a little bit of Tex-Mex, a little bit of New Orleans, blues, rock, right?
I think if you stay in it long enough, you start to incorporate everything you love. And
but
there's a lot of things I love.
I was listening to your CD, and I was thinking to myself, that reinforces my theory that there are only two kinds of music, what you like and what you don't like. Don't get bogged down with, oh, well, that's Caribbean. You know, I don't like that kind of... Just, do you like it? What does it make you feel?
That was the Ellington thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The good and bad.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
I have to ask you, we just played a little bit of We Sure Got Enough... Who did the wonderful animation? I love the video on that. That is so cool.
I should know their names. It's a couple that are out of New York.
Okay.
That had done some work. They had done a video for Nick Lowe, for I think for Low Straitjackets. And we had Connie Kirsch is a person that has been coordinating the record for Story Sound Records, which is out of New York. And she contracted with them to work on it, and it really turned out beautiful.
It did.
It is so much fun.
It's a perfect match for the song. It's not a case of you just put up images for a song. In fact, as we were listening to that little bump, I could see the images of the faces with the limousine, and it's just really, really well done.
Thank you very much. Well, you can find the video on either on YouTube or on the Story Sound site.
Right.
Or on Paul Seabart, Tomorrow Sound.
Well, let's not assume that everybody knows you and how to spell your name. That's C-E-B-A-R. So if they want to go looking you up tonight, they can click from our page or look you up, and they will find that you've been around for a day and a half, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting to be maybe 2 days.
Yeah. So we were talking about how long it's been since we had you over in the Tribune Tower.
Yeah, I remember being pretty deluxe, but not as deluxe as this.
Yeah, but that was in the wee hours of the morning, too, as I recall, right?
I believe so.
Yes. So you're born and raised in Milwaukee.
I am, yes. I grew up on the north side.
Yeah.
And people who are some of our Milwaukee listeners, the blatant plug for another radio station, you still do a radio gig up there, don't you?
I do. On Wednesday mornings, I've been on the Milwaukee School of Engineering has a station called WMSE.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually, it's 35 years now. Actually,
really?
I've been doing that. Yeah.
Huh. And you
but
get to
called Way Back Home, and it's freeform. Pretty much.
So you get to play what you want to?
Yeah. One thing you can't do is play your own music. That's one of the FCC commandments.
Really?
But I play just about everything else.
Don't do that anymore, Steve.
Okay. Nobody ever told me that commandment, so every now and then I've played one of my old songs.
Yes, yes. Of course, they wouldn't recognize it was you anyway, so, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So you started playing guitar, I would imagine, when you were just a kid?
Well, end of high school. And then when I went away to college, there were a lot of people that were from the East Coast. I went down to New College in Sarasota, Florida, which has gotten a lot of notoriety lately for them pretty much disassembling it. But it was a wonderful place. And there were a lot of people from the Northeast and a lot of people from out West and kind of from sophisticated record-buying places. And I didn't have many records, but I had guys that played me. I remember they played me Taj Mahal and Rye Cooper like the first week.
Oh.
And they've been my touchstones ever since. And there were a lot of guys that played guitar, and we would play together, and I learned a lot more playing with them than I did with any lessons that I ever took.
So when you went away to school, though, since you were not already deep into music, what were you thinking you were going to grow up to be?
Well, I was already playing when I left. I mean, I studied humanities, and so I didn't know if I was going to study. I did study philosophy and literature, and I didn't quite know where I was going, but it pretty quickly became music. And I became interested in kind of learning more and more and trying my hand at the old open mics.
Yeah, yeah.
What was there a point where you went from, I enjoy doing this, to, you know, I think I can make a living doing this?
Maybe it was a little gap in there, but I kind of didn't think about that for a while. But I guess next year I'm afraid it'll be 50 years that I've been being paid for playing music. So it's a...
How cool.
Yeah.
It's a little startling to me, actually, thinking about it.
I hear you.
And the classic saying is, if you do something you love, you never work a day in your life.
Yeah. You might... maybe setting up instruments, maybe not.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, it's
trying to get to
true. I mean, I do still very much love it, and it's it keeps giving you things, and you keep finding out more, and keep being attracted to more. And that's a good thing.
Why don't we shut up and let Paul do a little from his new album, cleverly titled Paul Seabart. And I love this album, Paul. This is one of those you've got to crank it up to the threshold of pain albums.
You have a saxophone on that cut, don't you?
Yes, yes.
Is that a new member of your band? Or
On that cut, it's actually a guest, but we do have the great Bob Jennings plays tenor and baritone in the band.
Nice.
And he also doubles on keyboards. But that is a good friend of mine named Derek Houston. And Derek is out of New Orleans, and we've been dear friends. we kind of met at the Jazz Fest way, way back. Mm-hmm. And he's been a dear, dear friend. So he's on the record on a couple of tunes.
Well, speaking of playing, I think the best thing we should do right now
is hush.
Shut up, and what would you like to play?
Maybe we'll play the first tune on the record that's called When We Sing. We put a lot behind us when we sing. We bring a lot to the table when we sing. And much of whatever hangs heavy in our minds, the slings and arrows, coarse words and angry tones, they all fall by the wayside when we sing. We bring home into being when we sing. And we edge out some of that lonesome when we sing. And all the ways we get to being lost and on a limb is tempered by the feeling that we're no more alone. We all can come together when we sing. When I sing all by my lonesome, it can be a troubled call, crying out for caring in the night. When I land my voice to something we can keen to, out of all this rawness, suddenly some pride and real delight. We're of ourselves when we sing. We're up and fully Adam when we sing. There's something pressing, it'll have to wait. No point in rushing into the mire, for we all can come together when we sing. We're off the ground and winging when we sing. When we sing. When we sing.
Now I can tell you that is my number one song on the CD. I love that song, and I'm going to say something, and I hope you will take it as a compliment.
All right.
I want an auditorium of six-year-olds to sing that song.
Me too.
I just feel like it's just so uplifting. We are all together when we sing. Can't you see that and hear it?
I'm with you, Jen.
Okay, good. So we got any kindergarten teachers out there, you need to teach them this song. Because they do, you know, they have songs of reaffirmation when they come into class. You know, I have a friend that says, we're on John Baptiste now. We're singing his songs, you know. So I'm going to turn her on to Paul Sebar.
There's an inspiring gentleman.
Yes. So,
well, speaking of inspiring, I have to ask you, what was the inspiration for that?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful song.
A number of the tunes on the record actually started. I had a couple of friends that were working with the Blind Boys of Alabama. Mm-hmm. And one is their manager, Charles Drebe, and the other was Steve Berlin of the Los Lobos, actually. Mm-hmm. And Steve was producing them a few records ago. And he asked me if I had anything in the gospel kind of world. And I told him, well, I got a few things. And I sent him a few of like some of my friends, John Seeger and Mike Fredrickson, my bass player. Both have written some really beautiful things that could fit in that context, I thought. And so I sent a bunch of stuff, and I sent that. And it turned out that for that record, nothing quite jumped for them. But just before the pandemic, Charles had called me up and said, we have another project. I wanted, just wondered if you wanted to take a crack at trying to write some things. So I joke sometimes that he probably looked at the Agnostic Songwriters book and the C-bars were early, and so he called me. But I love the Blind Boys, and I love gospel music, so I kind of thought, well, I'll take a crack at this. And that was one of them that was actually like the first one that I wrote. Was I kind of thought about, like, what is it about when mm-hmm. when you see them, mm-hmm. what is it about? And that whole idea of, like, what a group of people singing something.
Yeah.
There's the kind mm-hmm. of, you know, it's kind of Pete Seeger 101, but
mm-hmm. yeah.
That still is very powerful for me. So
absolutely.
But now that Johnny has said that, I've got this image of kids singing.
Yes.
That is such a perfect
rocket.
We got to make that happen.
I know. That's our video.
I'm
come on, Paul.
Good. I'm coming down whenever you got it happening.
Good. You can check him out online. He's got all kinds of stuff. It'll blow you away when you go to and just put his name in Google.
Yeah, in fact, the website is, cleverly enough, paulcebar.com.
Mm-hmm. C-E-B-A-R. And you can click through from our page. And I'll just tell you right now, we lock the doors. We got him all the way down here from Milwaukee and he closed the doors, and he's here for a while. So we hope you guys will stick
it's
around with us.
Pretty charming up here.
Yes, it is. It's
I'm okay. You can trap me up here.
Yeah, we're in a fishbowl, but it's pretty cool. Yes.
And you can find on his website, you can find his schedule, bio, music, photos, all kinds of things. So mm-hmm. just check out paulcebar.com. And Paul, I just realized, am I wrong, or are you channeling a little bit of Billy Stewart on that?
That's what I shockingly discovered after I finished singing. I love his music, and I never figured out how to actually incorporate what he did, but there are little echoes of that, I think, that I'm inadvertently stumbled on.
It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that... Most of this record was done here in Chicago, which is a first for me.
Oh,
yes. Where'd you record it at?
In fact, with a friend of ours.
At Reliable Recorders.
With Alex.
Alex Hall.
Oh, you worked with Alex.
Alex
Hall. Well, no wonder it sounds so good.
Because we first met Alex with the Modern Sounds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yes, he was in here playing
with
drums.
Joel.
Yeah, with Joel Patterson.
Yeah.
And so he did the engineering in his studio on this.
That's right.
Very
and actually,
nice.
He's playing drums on that one. And Scott Legan is playing organ on that.
Okay.
That also explains why it has such a good live sound.
It was a 25-year-old lyric that I had in a notebook, and about a year-old guitar track that I had cut at home, actually on my phone. And I have an old... sort of a Dan Electro copy that's sitting mm-hmm. there. Just I play it without amplification, and at the time Cynthia would be sleeping, and I'd go in the other room and, you know, play whatever I was going to play. And I had it in the kind of a Joni Mitchell inspired open mm-hmm. tuning, and I brought it into the studio. We were kind of having an experimental day, so it was kind of before we could all be in the studio as a band. Mm-hmm. It was still in, you know, we'd all been vaccinated, but it was still kind of early. We didn't know mm-hmm. quite how we could work, but we figured Alex and I could work being far enough away. And this one day we had Scott came, and so I, you know, I brought the guitar, and Alex kind of listened to it and said, we just cut this, cut that. It took him really about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, like, kind of a structure that, you know, we worked from. So he said, well, what do we think? Do you think you could? I said, well, I have this lyric. The band and I had traveled to Detroit one time, and probably 25 years ago, and we were coming back on the first day of autumn, but it was beautiful. It was like today. It was mm-hmm. like 75 instead of 85, but it was just beautiful day, like blue and perfect clouds all over the place. And I, you know, I was driving in a van. You know, it wasn't the most romantic thing, but it was a like enormous good feeling in the air. And I looked, and there was a guy that had pulled off the road, and he had like a completely custom, like brown Cadillac. And he got out of his car, and he was dressed like it. He had a brown leather outfit that matched his car. And his license plate said Mr. Jazz. And so I saw that. And then about a mile down the road, there was a guy with a amazing tricked-out Harley that had, like, matte black saddlebags on it with fringe. And then he was getting off his bike for some reason, and he had a matte black suit,
fringe suit
with fringe like down the sides of the pants and on the back of the jacket that matched his bike. And so I saw these two things, and I've kind of conflated them in the lyric.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had written this thing. I didn't know how it was going. I thought it was going to be something of a slow stroll, a soul stroll kind of thing. But I couldn't find it at home, or couldn't think of what's the structure for this. But when Alex kind of cut up my guitar part, I thought, well, I'm going to try singing this. So the first verse is everything's working. He's dressed like his car. It's a candy flake jacket and a sissy bar. Mr. Jazz is riding too. With his burnished fringe on the matte black tip.
Oh, that's
and
great.
It's off to fall, you know.
I love knowing the story behind it.
That.
Because as I'm listening, I go, Mr.
Story.
Jazz.
And then there's references to there's that giant tire on the edge of Detroit. So there's a thing of Motor City is calling with its welcoming tire.
Oh.
And, you know, there's all of these little details of that crazy day, you know, where it was fall, but everything was green. I mean, I end up talking, I call it a flicking green time, which Alex always thought it was a bit, he thought it was something else.
I see.
Effing something.
Yes.
Green
yeah.
tie.
Just the image of those two guys in one day, just miles apart. That would stick with you.
We went in, I sang it, and really I might have patched a couple vocal parts, but I think for the most part, I think I doubled some things.
Uh-huh.
But that really, that performance, Alex went in again and put strings on and put vibes on. But that, you know, that performance is pretty much what went down. Like within 15 minutes, we all looked at each other like,
whoa.
What is this?
And that song needs to be playing on your radio on a lazy Sunday afternoon, just driving.
Looking for a man matching his car.
Yep.
You know, it's a man after my heart. Paul, this is what number for you? 11? 12?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I actually haven't done the math yet.
But it's taken you a while to get this one together, right? It's been a few years
because
you've been busy working. I mean,
yes,
that little thing called the pandemic kind of slowed everything down for a few years. This new album is entitled Paul Seabar.
And it's a wonderful album. You can't tell that we like the album.
Yes. You can see Paul. Well, I'll mention this real quick. Friday night, October 3rd, you can get details just by going to his site at paulseabar.com. And then coming up after that, later on in October, he's going to be up in Minnesota. And we said tonight we've got something like 20 states that are tuned in, so we appreciate that. So Minnesotans, he's going to be opening for Los Lobos on October 25th and hanging out in New Ulm, Minnesota, ULM.
Kind of near Mankato.
On November 7th, and you can get all the details on his site.
Two places you might not have ever been.
Or even said on the radio after all these years. And you said New Ulm is a kind of a special place because it's a renovated old theater.
That's right. They're celebrating the renovation of maybe an opera house. It may be just an old vaudeville theater, but they've done an amazing job.
I bet the acoustics are cool.
So they're celebrating all that.
Nice. Yeah. And that's on October 25th. But he's here with us in studio.
And we're smart enough to know that the best thing we could do is shut up and ask Paul to do whatever he wants to do. So what do you want to do?
I don't know if that's smart, but it's, nice.
It's all yours now.
I'll play the last song on the record. It's called Dreaming Back.
See my baby walking down the street. She's moving mighty slow. See my woman going off to sleep. She ain't got far to go. Well, there's gold in the cup. There's a train gliding up. Leaves her feeling like somebody else. All the cares of the day are all neatly away and put up just so on the shelf. I say, whoa, whoa. I say, whoa, whoa, whoa. See my baby, feel my baby lying next to me. She's 100 miles away. And seems my baby got to jump on me and half the pillow where I lay. How she furrows her brow leaves me wondering how she finds her way back into town. I'm not meant to know all the places she goes. It's a wonder she come back around. I say, whoa, whoa. I say, whoa, whoa, whoa. How deep and wide, how near or far. My baby getting out of bed, and she's slinking down those stairs. Well, there's birds all around, don't know which way is down, and an arrow flies right by my head. Must have angered someone when I start to run. She's bringing me coffee in bed. I say, whoa, whoa. I say, whoa, whoa, whoa. I say, whoa, whoa, whoa. I say,
was really, really special, Paul. Thank you.
Do we want to know the inspiration for that? That's a wonderful song.
Well, that's one of two songs on the record that were written with the great Pat McLaughlin, who's been a great sort of one of the kingpins over at Fitzgerald's when mm-hmm. he comes to town. Mm-hmm. He's an Iowa boy, but he's been living in Nashville for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But he and I get together as often as we can, usually me showing up at his place in Nashville. And so that was one that we wrote, kind of thinking about how far away somebody can be if they're right next to you. And I think we were originally calling it See My Baby, but by the time I got to recording it, I figured Dreaming Back was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Really nice. And that sweet little old guitar, do you know how old that guitar is? Do you have any idea?
I think it's like late 50s, but I'm not sure.
And you said, it's just plywood. And then when you started playing it, I went, wow.
It has such a great tone.
Yeah.
It's oddly, I don't know, there's a richness to it. That's
It likes being played. It's like, thank you for playing me.
It likes being played.
Right, yes.
It's called a Del Oro of the Gold. But I guess it's made by the same company that makes a lot of cowboy guitars, or that made a lot of cowboy guitars. Some people think that Kay was making them
in Chicago. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Wait, and it's
actually probably Tweety could tell us what's the story on this.
But as he was playing it, it made me think of the guitar that literally was in a dumpster and was given to Steve.
Oh yeah.
And it was covered in stickers, right?
A friend of ours owned a storage facility in Panama City Beach, Florida. And this one day, there was a somebody that hadn't paid the money. And so he had to get rid of some of the stuff. And one of the things was a guitar. And it was literally in the dumpster. He showed it to me. I brought it up to Guitar Works in Evanston.
Mm-hmm.
Had them tweak it. And whoever had owned it had jabbed a pickup into it that didn't belong there.
Mm-hmm.
It was
covered
a mess.
With stickers, and it was just, it was terrible.
But the short story is, Guitar Works, Terry Straker at Guitar Works fixed it up. Oh, boy, is it a sweet guitar. It is just...
But it's a case of you look at it and you go, oh, that's a piece of junk, you know, or that's just so old, or that's made out of plywood, and then you start playing it.
It has this beautiful ringing tone.
Yeah.
It's just like it wants to be played.
And every time I'll say, it's thanking you. It really is. You took it out of a dumpster.
That's
you saved
tremendous.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Tremendous.
By the way, I put the link directly to his site on our Facebook page, so you can get there and find out more about how you can get a copy of that CD, which, by the way, is also available on vinyl. We'll talk about that in just
bless
a minute.
Bless you for doing that.
Yes, yes. I have to share the first paragraph of your bio, because I smile every time I come across it. Because, as we said at the outset, you know, we kind of launch into this because we know you, and not everybody knows you, but this really describes you. Paul Seabar, that natty-hatted, the natty-hatted, guitar-wielding, tertiary-color-wearing singer man with the spectator's shoes that has a long, illustrious career creating music that travels back and forward across eras while also drawing on influences from around the globe. Dang! Are you worthy of that? I mean, that is awesome.
We're working on it.
Well, it ain't bragging if you done it.
That's right. I love the natty-headed. Paul Seabar with us in the studio. I want to read a couple of texts from listeners. We mentioned October 25th, you'll be in new Minnesota.
Yep.
And a listener says there's a nice movie called New in Town that's set in that town, starring Renee Zellweger and Harry Connick Jr.
I'm up for seeing that.
I had no idea. So New in Town. Also, listener says, thank you, Steve and Johnny. Love Paul Seabar. My late husband and I had the pleasure of seeing Paul at Space and City Winery couple of occasions. Always enjoyed his show. Really enjoyed tonight's show. Paul sounds great. Love your show. Thank you. That's from 847. 615 from Nashville checking to say, hey, Paul, I was listening to you an hour ago on vinyl. The song In the Mood, David from Nashville.
Oh.
So thank you for checking in. And then a listener says, is this Paul from the Milwaukeeans?
Sure.
Yeah. So he remembers you from the 90s.
That could happen. Yeah.
Yes. You were the Milwaukeeans after you were the Cadets?
The R&B Cadets was the band I was with. And then when I started my own dance band, it was the Milwaukeeans. I started it with Robin Plure, actually.
Dance band. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever knew the Milwaukeeans were a dance band.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're from Milwaukee, right? Got to be.
I suppose.
Did you ever feel pulled to, like, move to one of the coasts to do your music, or?
I spent a little time in New York, and I was contemplating being there, and it was right around the time when I had started. I'd been doing solo work and then kind of small group acoustic work, and I had just started doing some things with the R&B Cadets. They were a band already, and I started guesting with them, and started really enjoying being part of the dance situation and kind of a crowd and, you know, a community moving around. Mm-hmm. And I went to New York, and I was planning on staying and started, you know, playing at the what was called the other end then. It's back being the bitter end now.
Right.
But I would play there. I'd play at Folk City. I played all around the place. There was a, like, kind of a art collective called A's that was that was amazing. I was on some crazy bills. There was some Liquid, the punk band, and a female punk band called Toxic Shock, and Joe Bowie, who was Lester Bowie's brother, had a band called Defunct, and we were on some bills together. And I was kind of at the time playing Ellington tunes in some kind of white suit. I was a bit of the comic relief, I think, for that party.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a good time. We played all around the town, and I was planning on being there, but I kind of realized I would spend more time being a waiter or doing some kind of that sort of work in order to wait for the one play every couple of months that you could do in New York. And I was pretty excited about still working with the Cadets, so I came back to Milwaukee and got very involved for a long time. So I don't know. There are times every
now,
time
when we come see you on Friday at Shank Hall. The band is made up of
Bob Jennings, who's played with me longer than anyone else on earth. He played with me about 5 years in the Cadets, and then joined up 29 years ago into my band. It was the Milwaukeeans, and then became Paul Sebar Tomorrow Sound. Reggie Bordeaux is the drummer, and Reggie also joined at the same time that Bob joined with this band. So he's been with me 29 years as well. And he's the son of the first jazz drummer I ever saw live. His father was Baltimore Bordeaux, which is one of the great names.
Yeah.
At least in Milwaukee jazz, if not in the world. But then there's a great bass player named Mike Fredrickson that's been with me, I think, 16 years now. I keep thinking it's about 7, but I think it's 16. And Mike is a fantastic singer-songwriter himself and has put a lot of things out under his name and under the name The Mosleys. But Mike will be with me playing bass and singing harmonies.
Your lyrics and imagery are so fascinating. Have you ever written a book?
I have not written a book. I've thought about it at various junctures, and I'm still thinking about it, I guess. But
do it.
Because I love all of your songs. They're like mini movies.
Well,
the characters are well delineated. The mood, everything. It's a I'd love to read anything that you would decide to write.
Well, thank you. I'll have to do some more thinking along those lines.
Write your own story.
Are the people, you know, that I admire as writers. I mean, it's, you know, Tom Waits or Dylan or whoever, John Hyatt, Pat McLaughlin himself. You know, the people I've been co-writing with, I've long loved their music, so it's been a real kick. I mean, on this record, there's a song written with Willie Porter, my friend back in Milwaukee, and you write a different kind of song, and you take your kind of everyday thing and twist it around some other way, and some other person adds their own thing to it, and you always have the recourse is, well, I'm not going to do that one. But yeah. Every time I've done it now, you come up with something different. And it's, you know, it's fascinating.
Was it hard to come up with the songs that you wanted to put on this CD?
I think, you know, I had
I know you had them, but I mean deciding which will be my baby.
Well, you know, we did record another four songs, and the record ultimately ended up 11 songs long.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were four others that I thought were contenders, but as it often happens when you're making a record, that you kind of you get too close to it, and so you don't quite know what fits and what the sequence is going to be by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So this time around, I actually asked a friend, a guy named Jake Guralnick, who's a manager for Nick Lowe and for mm-hmm. Low Straight Jackets mm-hmm. and for John Doe and for, what is their name? The name, the kind of country rock band out of Minneapolis. Spacing out, but he's a great guy, mm-hmm. and he's the son of Peter Guralnick, who's written all those beautiful
Elvis books.
Great writer.
But Jake's a great guy, and I had him listen to the thing, and I asked him if he had time. I've long wanted him to manage me, but he's got plenty on his plate.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But he was nice enough to listen through the record and kind of give me his feeling on like what would be a good song order and mm-hmm. what to leave on, what to leave off. And so this time we kind of went Jake's way, and so he basically sequenced the record.
Nice.
It's a beautiful, such a well-done album. We don't want to run out of time before we're able to con Paul Seabar into doing another song for us. So, Paul, what do you want to do?
I think maybe I'll do that one that I wrote with Willie Porter. I wanted to tell you, though, you had asked about the video before, and it was done by a couple named Mark Lerner and Nancy Howell.
Mm-hmm.
They are also known as the Mark of Nancy.
Mm.
They have their own name for their video work, but they've done some great work for a lot of different people. But this is a song called Didn't Bring It Up. I checked the oil and the gutters are clear. The roof will hold for another year. I can't pretend that I know what you're missing. Nothing smells, but I can hear that hissing. I didn't bring it up, bring you down. All I wanna do is stick around. Count me as the last to know what's lying underground. I didn't bring it up, bring you down. To bring you down to the wire that you know's gonna trip you down to the place where you know you don't wanna go. Where's the giving, the festivities here? A little talk on the bed springs near. A little quiz and we're off and gunning. Way down the line, who knows what's coming? I didn't bring it up to bring you down. Our little house of cards comes crashing down now. Last to know what's lying underground. I didn't bring it up, bring you down. Mm-hmm.
little house of cards comes crashing down now. And this really is the best thing that I have ever found.
Thank you so much.
Oh, boy.
It has been such a treat. I jokingly said to you off the air, the boss is listening, saying, why are we paying them? They're just hanging out with friends, listening to cool music. So thank you. And I want to take you back to the beginning of the show. You said next year you're celebrating 50 years in the business. Let's have a party on the show. Let's celebrate your
Seriously.
50 years, and you can do some of those older songs and just anything you want.
All right, I'm game.
And we will make it a party, okay?
All right, we can't keep the kids up too late.
Oh, we'll make it after midnight so they'll all go to bed.
We'll get the kids together earlier in the day.
So, Shank Hall, Friday night.
Right, the blatant plug light is flashing, so it's paulcbard.com, Shank Hall, Friday night. And that October 25th will be the State Street Theater, opening for Los Lobos in New Ulm, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And November 7th, the Hook and Ladder Theater in Minneapolis, Min.
Yeah, it's keeping him busy. But get your hands on the new CD, and you can link to Paul.
CD or vinyl.
Or vinyl, yeah. Thank you for that. What a nice treat.
What is the best place for people to order? From your website, from Amazon, from where would you like people to get it?
I guess at this juncture, Amazon. I'm just about setting up a Bandcamp page, and eventually it'll be available there.
Good.
Okay.
But at this point, go to your favorite record store.
Yeah, that's a good idea, too.
And ask them to order it, because it is, I can't say that they've all brought in 30 copies. I think there's a copy here and a copy there.
Yeah.
But
they want to stay in business, so they'll do it.
Yeah, certainly ask them.
And we're not just saying this because Paul is in the studio. This is a wonderful album.
And that's why we're so happy that you agreed to drive down from Milwaukee, because with the construction, oh my gosh.
No problem.
Yes, I was kind of on pins and needles going, okay, I hope he makes it here. But
I actually came to Oktoberfest out in Oak Park, and then I saw a great band, Fuego Cumbia.
Oh, cool.
They were tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good fun.
Well, you were pretty tremendous tonight, too, so thank you.
Well,
we really appreciate it. Paul Cbar has been our guest here on WGN. And again, that's Cebar. You can click right to him from our website, our Facebook page.
If you were paying attention, and if you're following your scorecards, you know that this is the part of the show where we are going to talk tech with Dr. Patrick Crisman, who is the Director of Educational Technology, Keck School of Medicine of USC. And you're wondering, well, why the heck are we playing Danger Zone? Patrick,
why the heck are we playing Danger Zone?
Greetings from Miramar. I am at the Marine Corps Air Station in Miramar. I can't really tell you why it's classified. I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
And I hate when that happens.
We came down for the Miramar Air Show, which is the largest military air show in the United States. You know that Joseph loves airplanes.
No.
Loves
that would
airplanes.
Be the boy that was wearing his Blue Angels t-shirt today.
and required us to get a Blue Angels plushie. And, so we are here at Miramar, and big thing to remember, it's the Marine Corps Air Station Miramar, not the Naval Air Station Miramar. If you remember Top Gun, and I think we all do,
yeah,
it used to be Naval Air Station Miramar. But when they closed El Toro and they closed Tustin, the Marine Corps moved down here, and Naval Air Station Miramar became a Marine Corps Air Station. And here's the thing. Tom Cruise lied to you when he made Top Gun Maverick, because remember they came back to Miramar?
Mm-hmm.
Top Gun is not in Miramar and hasn't been in Miramar since 1996.
Tom Cruise lied to us? What?
And this is like a huge air show, isn't it, Patrick?
There are probably, they actually estimate about 700,000 people attend over 3 days.
What?
Seven with a bunch of zeros?
What?
Seven with a bunch of zeros. And yeah, again, it's we got lucky and got to park on the tarmac and spent the entire day there. And it was the Marine Corps showing off, and it was wonderful. We just had a great time. What's really funny is, again, Joseph loves airplanes. So next weekend, mm-hmm. we're going to go to Huntington Beach and see another air show and see the Thunderbirds. So we saw Blue Angels today, and we're going to see Thunderbirds next weekend.
Cool.
Well, now for a day like this, because you were there all day long,
yes.
Did you have to wait until like noon and just kind of hang out all morning before they did the show? How did that work? Or did they fly a couple of times? Or
yeah, basically every 15 to 30 minutes, there was some sort of demo going on. And sometimes it would be current military flights. Sometimes it would be acrobats. Sometimes it would be vintage planes. But basically every 30 minutes you got to see something. And I think they stopped at about 12:30 so that everybody can go watch the Marine Corps silent drill team do their thing. I think the Blue Angels ended up taking off at about 2:40 and did the entire show, and it's wonderful.
Well,
lots of pictures.
Oh yes, lots and lots of pictures and lots of videos. And Joseph was smiling ear to ear.
Now, was he wearing headphones because of the sound, or was he listening to something?
No, he wanted. We had actually had him use some ear pods earlier in the morning. And he said that it wasn't really cutting the sound as much. Ah. So we ended up actually getting some foam ear pods or ear plugs, and then getting the ear cuffs that go on top of it. Mm-hmm. So he couldn't hear a thing.
Good. Yeah, good idea. So when you say, come over here, son, yeah, I'm wearing headphones. I can't hear you.
Don't know a thing about it.
You know, every 9-year-old wants to be able to wear headphones. Yeah. So I don't have to listen to anybody. That is so cool, Patrick. So you're going to leave there. You're staying tonight. You're going to leave there tomorrow. Is there anything going on tomorrow?
We're doing a Pokemon thing tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh.
It's been busy.
Yeah, it has been very busy. And I have a feeling that you're right there going, yeah, this is my idea of a good time. When I was 9, I would have wanted to do all of these things.
We are spoiling him so much. I'm so proud to do that.
Well, there is so much to talk about tonight. Can I start with something that Johnny stumbled on earlier this week? Mm. It has to do with these rings.
I've had the Aura ring in my cart as I've been doing research on it. So since my birthday, Steve says, well, go ahead and get that for your birthday. And I said, well, yeah, I wear a Google smartwatch, but I thought the ring was cool. And then we were in with our eye doctor the other day, and she said, I just started wearing this, and I'm not sure I'm going to stick with it. I haven't subscribed. And at that point, I said, that's right, you do have to subscribe. It's a monthly thing that you have to pay. And then we came across the story about your data from your Aura ring being sold. So you want to take it from there, Patrick? Because I wrote to you and I said, what? I'm not going to buy this.
It's a profound misunderstanding. Aura, by the way, O-U-R-A, basically make a smart ring, and it's very much like the Apple Watch. And it constantly tracks about 50 different health and wellness metrics like sleep, heart rate, body temperature, and things like that. And recently, the company behind Aura disclosed that their biggest enterprise customer is the United States Department of Defense. So big, in fact, that Aura is building a U.S. factory to support that business. So everybody's going, wait a minute, all my Aura data is going to the Department of Defense? No, it isn't. But you, a lot of people kind of put two and two together and came up with potato. And also, Aura, it turns out, has a contract with Palantir, which is a data company that kind of brings data together. And there was a lot of concern. It's like, wait a minute, DOD and Palantir? This is terrible. This is evil. Here's the thing. And this is the reason why facts really, really are important here. Aura very strongly says yeah, we've got a DOD contract, but it's a DOD contract that is separate from our commercial side. We're doing something specific for the soldier, sailor, airmen, and Marines, and we're not doing that. You and everybody else is wearing this at home, they're almost like two different, completely different companies. You don't have to worry about your data going to PTEXTH. It's not happening. That's not what we're doing. So that whole Pentagon story, you don't have to worry about. As for Palantir, it turns out that Aura had bought a company that had a FedStart contract that was with Palantir. And so that's the reason why that's there. But none of your data is going to Palantir at all, and there's no direct partnership with them. It's just basically Aura bought a company. The company had a contract with Palantir, so it's like tertiary to what's going on. Aura is really good in privacy. They're very strongly saying they're not going to sell your health data to anyone else. So big takeaways. If it's in your basket and thinking about getting it, it's a great product.
But
you,
Patrick,
really should get it.
The reason I turned to you was I could not find a word that you have just said. Everything I found was just enough to just scare the daylights out of you. I was like, well, this is outrageous.
Well, I can go around the world faster than, you know, you can go around the world a couple times before the truth can get its shoes on.
but also, and I'm putting on my devil's advocate hat here.
Yes.
If you are to believe what Aura is saying, that assumes you believe what Aura is saying. And it assumes that what they are saying is the truth. If you believe what Zuckerberg tells us or anybody else say, it has to do with your faith in the company you're dealing with, because technically, would they have the technical ability to do what they have been accused of? And I think, Patrick, correct me if I'm wrong, I think technically the answer would be yes. Are they saying they're going to do that? No.
And I think the reality is, I kind of put in the show notes that you kind of are need to put your faith in internal policies, independent audits, and real oversight of what's going on with the company. I'm a big believer that truth eventually outs. And if they do decide to become an evil company, and they're not, please hear me, they are not an evil company. But if sometime down the future they decide that they're going to sell your data, they're not. Somebody's going to come up and tell you a story, and it's not going to be on Facebook. It's going to be on the front page of the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
Well,
boy, so much to get to. And there was this Sim story out of New York, Patrick. You want to jump on that?
Yeah. Earlier this week, the U.S. Secret Service said it dismantled a really huge telecommunication threat just outside of New York City, about 35 miles outside of New York City. And he said it was capable of crippling cell service just right around the time of the UN General Assembly. So it sounds really kind of scary and dramatic. The thing is, when you dig into this, and I actually spent a little bit of time looking into this, it gets kind of complicated. I don't think the Secret Service got the story right. I think I support them. I like them. They did a wonderful job. But the story isn't necessarily as bad as the Secret Service or the press is making it out to be. Here's what's going on. They seized over 300 SIM servers and about 100,000 SIM cards.
Now, these
scattered
are the,
around.
The little tiny cards, right? The little SIM cards, like you put in your phone.
Little chips that you stick. If you stick that paper clip in the side of your phone and that little tray comes out, it's basically, they had about 100,000 of those little individual cards that they then put in a whole bunch of servers. And basically, you don't see those a lot on new phones because they're using eSIMs, electronic SIMs, so there's not a tray you slide something in. But a lot of older devices use them, and they're still big in Europe. So that's why something like a SIM farm can be created, is that you buy a whole bunch of these SIM cards and then stick them into a server, and you have basically a whole bunch of fake cell phones. Secret Service is basically saying that this SIM farm that they shut down could have disabled cell towers, sent millions of text messages per minute, and generally kind of caused a bunch of bad stuff to happen in New York City right around the UN General Assembly. And the thing is that what's going on is the cell towers don't just relay telephone calls. They also juggle what's called signaling traffic. And it sort of kind of tells the signals how to get from point A to point B. And it's all the behind the scenes chatter. And if you flood those control channels, it could actually take down the network. Mm-hmm. So it's a little like if everybody who's listening to this right now got into the same checkout line at Jewel Osco, guess what? That Jewel Osco is going to close.
Right. Yeah. He's going to shut down.
We are going to hammer the heck out of that thing. So the Secret Service is kind of right. If all of these fake cell phones were sending messages at the same time, it could spread to multiple towers, but could this actually take down of all New York City's cellular networks? No, it just can't. I don't know what the Secret Service is saying, because the reality is that wireless networks are built with redundancies to prevent this from happening. Mm. It's just not possible. So why would somebody spend $1 million? That's generally what I'm hearing that it costs to build this sort of SIM farm. Why would you spend $1 million on this? And the answer is crime. It really is. If you want a really good way to scam people and to send out spams and phishes and things like that, you do it through text messaging and you blast out phishing calls or text or robocalls. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that this network, if you think about it, could send out 30 million text messages per minute.
A minute. So wow.
It's very much likely that this was a scam network that was set up by bad actors, not by Russia or by China or whoever, but maybe the mafia, maybe some criminals. It also turns out that somebody had used this network in the past to SWAT, when in other words, call in fake right. threats about particular high-ranking officials. And they used these phones to get that information.
Mm. So I'm raising my hand for a dumb question.
Yeah.
Why would they do this with SIM cards rather than eSIM?
And the answer is because SIM cards are very difficult to trace if you buy them from certain places where you can get them in a bundle of 100 or even 1,000.
Got it.
And you just go and buy them. The eSIM is much, much easier
to track.
Okay, got it.
So, here's the thing.
I was going to say, I feel like you're going to say this was actually good news that they found out about it. They just didn't really
yes.
understand what they found.
Yeah, this really has. It seems to me this is a U.S. cell phone as a service black market that basically got caught because somebody used this service to send swatting calls and got traced back to the network. And then the Secret Service said, oh, look, this is used to take out the UN. And it's like, no, this is used to basically send all those fake text messages. You're saying, like, are you going to be cooking today? And then you reply to it. And then they ask you, hey, can you give me your money so I can, like, buy crypto?
Mm-hmm. So really, if that happens to me multiple times a day, as you say, when you're looking at this by times 100,000,
yes.
This was a very big deal, so it's good that it was caught and dismantled, but we need to understand.
But not a big deal in the way that it was presented.
Yeah.
It's not espionage.
Okay, that kind of cuts to it. Yeah, it's bad, but not that kind of bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because you wouldn't do it this way.
Yeah.
If I were Russia, if I were China, if I were Iran, and I wanted to take down the cellular network, I wouldn't do it with a SIM farm like this. It just doesn't make sense.
Hmm. Okay.
It will be within days that Windows 10 support will go away. Dun, 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 dun.
October 14th.
And that is the official, we're not going to support it anymore date. But there are options, correct?
That's right. Big thing, remember, on October 15th, 2025, Windows 10 is going to keep working. even though the support's going to end, you can keep using Windows 10 for as long as you want. It's not going to stop working. Mm-hmm. It's just that Microsoft is no longer going to release any updates for Windows 10 unless, well, there's, well, let me talk about that. And I can think of five different options for you. If you have a Windows 10 box and you're trying to figure out, I don't know, what do I do? I've got until October 14th. Option number one is upgrade to Windows 11. You do need to have a newer computer because it has to have a certain sort of security chip into it. But if your computer is eligible, you can just go to Start, Settings, Update and Security, Windows Update, and check to see if you are eligible and download Windows 11. And congratulations.
Wait, let me stop you there. Would it say you are eligible, or what do you have to know?
Yeah, no, it would just check for updates, and it'll say your computer has there's basically two chips it's looking for on the motherboard to make sure that it has both of those chips. And then it will sit there and say, you're allowed to do it. If you've got a PC from 2018 or earlier, it doesn't have these two chips, and at which point you're hosed. There are ways around that. I'll put it in the show notes. It's a lot of work, but the reality is, because you have an old computer that doesn't have the two security chips that you need to be able to verify things and make your computer safe, you're not going to be able to do Windows 11 on that box. Mm-hmm. Option number two is you can, if you want to, keep using Windows 10 and pay Microsoft about $30 a year $30 for the first year to keep running Windows 10 and get updates. So Microsoft will continue to release updates, but not for free. You got to pay them $30. Mm-hmm. And then next year after that, might be $50 or $60. And the year after that, it could be $90. They don't want you running Windows 10 anymore. Mm-hmm. It just keeps going up and up and up. There may be a way for you to get it for free if you sign up for the Windows Backup Tool, but the Windows Backup Tool only has a certain amount of storage, and your hard drive is going to be bigger than the storage, and you're going to pay money. So in that case, it might be better for you to go to option number three, which is look at getting a new or used Windows 11 PC. They're not terribly expensive, and used computers you can find on Facebook Marketplace or eBay. Just make sure it's a Windows 11 box and not Windows 10, and it's automatically been updated to Windows 11. If you want to and you have money burning in your hole in your pocket, there is something called Windows 365, and you can actually sign up and run Windows on the web. It's a virtual machine. That's $31 a month, and at that point, it's like, I just want to buy a computer, but it's up to you. So that's option number three, which is you could buy a newer or used Windows PC. Option number four, and this is the absolute worst option, do nothing. Mm-hmm. Just hope that no one is going to infect your computer in the future. The thing is, it's really dangerous to do that. It's kind of like driving around without a seatbelt. You might get away with it for a while, but when you don't, when you run into a wall or somebody runs into you, you're going to have a problem, and it's going to be really, really bad. What ends up happening is, come October 14th, all of the bad guys in the world are going to know, oh, there are a whole bunch of Windows 10 machines mm-hmm. out there that aren't going to be patched. I'm going to go in after those ones, and the number of bad things that are going to happen to Windows 10 is going to go up. And unless you have something to protect yourself, and antivirus isn't going to take care of it because this is going to be vulnerabilities in the operating system, you're going to have some problems. So that's option number four, which is do nothing. Don't do that, but it's an option. Option number five, and I got to throw it out because some people are screaming at their computer saying, well, why are you using Windows in the first place? You should get rid of Windows. And okay, you can. That's option five. Ditch Windows and go with Linux or buy a Mac or something like that, or Chrome OS Flex or things like that. But the reality is, install Windows 11 or get a new computer. I hate to say it. Those are the best two options.
I have a question about something that I came across in reading about Windows 11. If you have Microsoft rewards points. I had never heard that term before, that you can redeem 1,000 rewards points and they will cover you for another year without you paying the $30.
And I've got a link for that in the show notes. It's basically you can get it for free with Microsoft reward points, and you get that using either Bing. So in other words, Microsoft has to pay you to use Bing. That should tell you something. or you can use what's called the Windows Backup Tool. And that's how you would get rewards points. So instead of paying the $30 a year for the basically the consumer extended security update, you can pay, you can bypass that by using Microsoft reward points if you have them. Or and, if you want to earn them with the Windows Backup Tool.
And two things. One, don't worry if you're glazing over at some of what Patrick just said. It will all be in Patrick's show notes, which will magically appear on our blog within the next 48 hours. But number two, just candidly, personally, we're going to go for the option of paying $30 for the year, only because, candidly, there are a whole lot of other things that we're dealing with right now. We don't choose to
jump into that.
To jump into, while we have used computers with Windows 11, and it's a fine operating system, just don't choose to do that this second. Mm-hmm. So the $30 for 1 year while we take care of other stuff and move on, and that's a good option for us.
Patrick, I don't know if you've come across this, but I came across a couple of stories that indicates that this could all change here in the United States, because apparently over in Europe, there have been some changes as a result of consumer groups getting all upset about this 10-year-old Windows, because I could not believe it's actually 10 years old.
It's 10 years old.
Yeah.
And Microsoft only supports operating systems for 10 years.
For 10 years. But apparently consumer groups in Europe have gotten so upset that Microsoft has said, oh, well, we could do this or that. And I was also reading the Consumer Reports is in the States rallying behind this movement to get them to change.
But Patrick, isn't this the same kind of thing that happens every 10 years when Microsoft says you got to upgrade, whether it was Windows XP 95 or whatever? There are people that just, I don't want to move. This is the end-all, be-all system. I don't want to go to anything else.
Well, and there are also a lot of businesses who can't move.
Yeah,
right.
For, you know, for obvious reasons where it's like, I've got operating systems. I actually have a Windows 95 box for a microscope. In one of the laboratories, and because the company that made the software that powered the microscope never made a version that didn't run on anything other than Windows 95. Now, I have secured the living hell out of that computer, but it is, you know, it's a risk, and but the researchers need it, and so just because you see it doesn't mean that it's, oh, this is a company that doesn't take their security or an organization that doesn't take security seriously. You know, the reality is that there are some operating systems that are required to run point-of-sale terminals, and it might be easier just to write a $30 check to Microsoft to be able to continue to use it.
Absolutely.
Speaking of upgrades, and I'm segueing for a quick second, this is not the same as Windows 10 to Windows 11, but as we mentioned before, we have and love a MacBook Air, great computer. Yep. And Apple recently had an upgrade, downloaded it, and my candid reaction, and I'm curious to hear yours, Patrick, does it work fine? Yeah. Am I disappointed because they kind of changed the way it looks? And to me, it looks a whole lot more Windows-like. I have my Windows machines. I know that I'm merely talking about the graphics and the way it looks. But it's just kind of, okay, why did you have to go there? It's just like, all right.
I understand it. It's Mac OS Tahoe 26. And it's, I got to tell you, I kind of like the look and feel of it. Of course, I also have an iPhone and an iPad, and I'm in the Apple ecosystem. So I do like the glass interface, but it is very Windows-like. And I still like the transparency that you could do with it. I like
the things it does. This is strictly cosmetics.
Yes.
I like the things it does. Well, I don't like the how much it looks like windows.
I looked over your shoulder and I said, "Where are the trees?" That's the first thing that got my attention.
Well, you can get those back. If you had Sonoma or what was between Sonoma and Tahoe, it was
anyhow, the one with the trees.
Yeah, redwoods. each of them has a wallpaper based on where it was.
Yeah.
And you actually can go and change the wallpaper. And all those wallpapers from previous versions of the Mac OS are still on your computer. So you can change it to back to, if you want to see the vineyards from Sonoma, you can go back to vineyards in Sonoma. Or if you want to see Tahoe, you've got the blue lake, but you actually can go in and change it so you can see that same lake at dusk, which is what I did.
Oh, okay. Well, I've learned something that will make me happy every time we open the Mac.
But also, and again, I know this is cosmetic. I didn't need to see, okay, here's your weather and here's all the other.
Oh, yes. Yeah, okay, the widgets that show up.
Yeah. Speaking of having Apple confusers, a couple of people have questions. So this question is, we just bought a Mac desktop. We haven't opened it yet. We have two Apple users that need to be on it. What antivirus should we run? And do we set up an admin account? If so, what programs should the admin run? Is there anything in Apple Books that would best guide me in setting up this Mac? Your suggestions, please, Patrick.
Absolutely. I am a big fan of a company called Intego, I-N-T-E-G-O, and they make something called Intego Mac Internet Security X9. Boy, that just rolls off the tongue. it's about $40 a year. But it's probably the best Mac antivirus. You just set it, forget it, and don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. And it will automatically, well, it'll tell you when there's an update. And we use it on both of the Mac Airs we have, and it is seamless. It's really good.
Yep. As for the users and groups, yes, you do want to have an admin user. But if you really want to be very careful, you set up the admin user, and the admin user then is going to be able to run everything that's on your computer. And then what you want to do is create what are called standard user accounts for everybody else. The standard users will be able to go and run programs on your computer, but they won't be able to install anything on your computer. They would need to have the admin username and password to be able to do that. And that's just an extra level of security to make sure that the people that you give access to your computer can't go in and do bad things and download things off the internet and install things on your computer without your permission. So my recommendation is set up an admin account. And then while you're in the admin account, set up some standard user accounts, log out of the admin account, let them log in as a standard account, and you're off to the races.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A listener asked if you personally, Patrick, use multiple authenticators. the listener says, I use multiple authenticator apps on each of my devices, and ask you what you recommend. If there's an open source authenticator that you think would fit the bill.
And the answer is yes, I use multiple authenticators. And I'm actually kind of laughing about this because just yesterday I was trying to do something and Microsoft wanted to be installed their authenticator. And it's going, no, I don't want to use your authenticator. I have enough authenticators already. And actually, Microsoft does give you the option to use using somebody else's. The three that I use, and I use them pretty heavily, the one I use the most is Google Authenticator. You had asked if there is an open source one. Not really that I recommend, but the Google Authenticator is the 800-pound gorilla. Everybody uses that. I probably have 40 or 50 accounts that I use for Google Authenticator. I also use Google Smart Lock, and I really just use that for my N number of Google accounts. It's just an extra way to do protect me on that. Although I also have the Google accounts over on Google Authenticator, so I have it both ways. And then through my workplace and a couple other places, we use Duo, D-U-O, which is a Cisco product. And that when I try to log into some place, it then pushes me a text message, not to my phone, but to the Duo app, Mm-hmm. And then I use that to log in as a special way to protect myself. So, yes, you are going to, if you have a lot of different places you need to log into, have multiple authenticators. My recommendation is pick one that you think is being the best. I like Google Authenticator and just try to use that for everything.
Hmm. Okay.
Before we run out of time, we do need to get to This Week in Hacks and a very important one for TransUnion.
Yeah, I'll be real quick on this one. It turns out that TransUnion, if you know them, there's the credit reporting agency, disclosed that threat actors had actually gained access to one of its third-party support tools back in July, and they took data from about 4.4 million people. The number sounds big, and 4.4 million, that's bad. But again, TransUnion has information on about 260 million, so it's a small portion of it. But TransUnion says that no credit information was accessed. But if you look into what they said when they were exposing this to the states of Maine and Texas, they said, well, it's true that no credit information was accessed, but it does look like customers' names, dates of birth, and social security numbers. So it's not credit information, but you know, social security numbers getting out there is pretty bad. Mm-hmm. If you are impacted by this, TransUnion is probably going to reach out to you if they haven't already. They're going to give you 2 years of free credit monitoring and fraud protection. You know that the lawyers are circling on this. Expect there's going to be some class action, so you'll get eventually a debit card for $3. but if you were impacted by this, and even if you weren't, watch for phishing attempts with this information that's out there. Consider a credit freeze. It's really smart to do that. It just in case, and make sure you monitor financial statements and your credit report just to make sure there's nothing showing up that shouldn't be there.
Good tip, because I got a sick feeling when I read TransUnion. I went, oh, no.
I know, that's a biggie.
Yeah. I want to sneak Jan in, because Jan joins us every Saturday night from the laboratory, and she said, can you ask the good Dr. Crispin how well the earbuds work for translation?
I have not used a translation, but the new AirPods Pro 3, supposedly are really, really, really good at translation, but only a limited number of languages. Now, it's still the major languages that you would think of, German and French and Spanish. It's not going to have Mongolian that I know of, but from what I've heard, it's really good. I just haven't tried it myself.
Do you say Mongolian because you actually went to Mongolia?
Yes. And
you
know what it was Mongolia like? I went to Mongolia twice, and I tried to use a translation tool and failed miserably.
But you still, they had you come back a second time.
They had me come back a second time, and so apparently I didn't say something that was offensive.
And you were not there to go to their beaches. You were actually there working, doing tech stuff, right?
Well, Mongolia doesn't have any beaches. But
well, you know.
But we were in the Gobi.
Speaking of translation is becoming a thing. We were in a doctor's office this past week, and we were surprised that in this doctor's office they had this, I forget the name of the company, but basically it was this thing about the size of a small laptop with speakers on either side, and it allowed them to translate from and for patients who might come in that spoke a different language. I love that.
I think there were a half dozen different languages. So if the patient came in, they'd just push a button.
And similar to that, there is a company out there. I think this is a terribly named company. It's NABLA, N-A-B-L-A, because it sounds a lot like another organization that we wouldn't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But N-A-B-L-A, check it out because it's really cool. Doctors are using it to transcribe their patient interactions with your permission. But you go into the doctor's office and it's an AI that is taking notes while the doctor is also taking notes, and the doctor can compare their notes with what was talked about in the patient interaction.
Hmm. Well, in the past couple of times that we've gone to see one doctor in particular, they ask us when we come in, do you mind if the doctor uses blah, 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 and I don't know
and
if the
called,
ones you just...
It's, and it is called NABLA. That is the 800-pound gorilla in the space, N-A-B-L-A.
Interesting. All right, before you get out of here and get some rest, a listener says, don't laugh at those class action settlement payouts. I recently got one from the Bumble dating app. Everyone got $1,904
wow.
for them violating biometric facial recognition laws in the state of Illinois.
I got one from Thomson Reuters where I thought it was going to be like $30 or $40, and it was like $150. And it was like, okay, well, that's how we ended up taking Joseph to the Coca-Cola Museum in Vegas. We spent all the money there.
Oh, stop. Well, enjoy yourself tomorrow, and thank you, as always, for joining us, even when you were having fun.
Yes, and give Joseph a hug from us.
Thank you.
I shall.
Take
Talk
care.
We're jumping in the Wayback Machine now to go back to the days when we were over at the Tribune Tower.
Yes, yes, yes. And there was a time when we actually saw people at night because they were working across the hall from us mm-hmm. in the Truckers Network, mm-hmm. which was housed in the Tribune Tower. And one of those people that we would run into joins us now from Arizona. And we're talking with Gene Christensen. Gene, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing real well, thanks. I survived a really heavy storm a few hours ago.
Yeah.
We've had a bunch of texts from people being concerned about friends, family in Arizona. What's going on?
Second day in a row, we had a heavy monsoon storm, heavy rain. Today was higher winds. We had about 60-mile-an-hour wind gust.
Ooh.
And they have found victims from yesterday. I mm-hmm. haven't heard anything new about today's storm, but we had one fatality in Scottsdale, which is just east of the city limits. I was there this afternoon, in fact, and they found a man by his car.
Mm.
And
I'm looking
and
here.
Four dead.
Four dead, yeah. Four confirmed dead
four
from
dead and two missing in Globe, but that's about 80 miles east of here.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't we hear that your governor has declared the state a disaster area?
It is a disaster area now, yes, and ADOT had to put out, that's Arizona DOT, mm-hmm. had to put out about 60 pumps to remove water from the major highways here. And you probably heard about the propane tanks.
Yes.
That were released out in Globe, 1,000 of them or thereabouts, that not only are full of fuel, but that's a hazmat issue, but there could also be an explosion situation with that.
Oh, my God. Have they explained how they broke loose, or is it just because of the strength of the floodwaters?
Probably strength of floodwaters. Those things are just stored and stacked, usually, from what I know.
Oh.
So in the water, they just floated away.
Wow. Now, this has just been an incredible year. This is actually your first full year to live in Arizona, right?
Yes, I've been here. It'll be 2 years in November. I just signed a new lease on my tiny apartment.
Mm-hmm. Because this year, you've had over 100 100-degree days. You had a couple
right.
of those crazy weather phenomena called haboobs,
yeah.
where you had the sandstorms.
Right.
And now this is your second major flooding event, the second day of the second one. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, 2 days in a row.
Wow.
Yesterday's was the one that apparently caused all the death and mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
Today's seemed worse to me, so I'm kind of concerned about what's coming
mm-hmm.
News-wise. We lost a tree out in front of my place, and the road out in front was like a flowing river. And the drainage here is unusual. They don't have a lot of traditional sewers, as Chicago or other cities do. It flows downhill toward these canals,
mm-hmm.
and it's stored in the canals. They were really high today. I saw some of them.
Hmm.
And I think with today's rain, it's may have overflowed west of me. I'm not sure. I have to go looking tomorrow. But, yeah, it was heavy today. There were, like I say, 60-mile-an-hour winds approximately, and trees down where I live, I'm sure there were elsewhere as well.
Is the drainage situation in part because Arizona just has never been used to this kind of weather?
Well, from what I hear from friends who have lived here a long time, we get some of these monsoon-type storms usually 2 or 3 times a year.
Really?
Not unusual. Last year we didn't have any, or at least not where I live. So that was unusual, but they're not something that people aren't accustomed to around here.
Wow.
But out in Globe, I believe that was unusually heavy. They had, I think what I heard was 2.5 inches of rain out there. We had 1.5 where I live.
Mm-hmm. Which doesn't sound like a lot, but when it's coming down fast and furiously, and it's just rolling, it's not saturating the ground, it's just rolling. And when you look at the video, you see how fast, you see the strength. I mean, it can, you know, the cars just get swept away. And these propane tanks, I'm just now looking at video. I cannot believe how bizarre this is. And I see here one of the hazmat workers said, and Globe is not a really big town, as I understand. It's just a few thousand people. And 1,000 right. residential-sized tanks lifted up, go floating away. And the worker said, this has not happened before. We had bad flooding in 2021 after a wildfire, but we've never had the propane tanks just pick up and roll.
Yeah, it's the heaviest in at least 7 years, the heaviest rainstorm.
Wow.
And think about that inch and a half of rain. That was just in like an hour.
Oh, wow.
We've had some people texting us because they're concerned about Raleigh Janes, who broadcasts from
Arizona.
And she's been dealing with some of this, too.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
Some people have stepped up to volunteer. But I'm curious because, you know, our experience down in Florida with hurricanes, we know they're coming. You get all kinds of warning. It's up to you to either prepare or to pick up and leave. And then when it happens, you get notification. Are you being notified when this kind of weather is happening? Because that's kind of scary, too. If you're kind of oblivious to what's going on, oh, it's just raining, and next thing you know, you're driving along the road and you're floating.
Right. Well, the rain was shooting horizontally right at my front door, and I started hearing sounds at about, 5:45 tonight, I think, thereabout. Mm-hmm. Started hearing sounds, and I thought, is it storming again? And I opened my door and about got blown away.
Is your unit on the first floor, second floor, or how are you located?
I am ground floor, about 3 inches off the surrounding ground.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Some of the videos you've posted over the past couple of weeks are scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I thought of you when we got in here and got set up, and I opened up my phone, and there was the news about Arizona, and they said it was affecting Sedona, Phoenix, and of course, all of the small areas around that. And I thought about our buddy Gene and said, this is a good excuse to check on you and hear your voice for a change.
Just to situate where I am, if you're familiar at all with Phoenix, mm-hmm. I'm about 3 miles due north of the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And they shut the airport down for a while yesterday and today.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
it's great to reconnect with you. I'd like to do it under much better circumstances.
Yeah, let's find an excuse to do that, okay? Gino, we can reminisce anytime. About the good old days.
I'm happily retired. I spent 20 years in Kansas City working behind the scenes in television. Mm-hmm. Haven't been on the radio anywhere in 25 years, and that seems unusual after a 32-year career.
Yeah,
And for those of you who are recognizing this voice, yeah, you used to hear this on the Truckers Network along with Fred. And
Fred Sanders,
Sanders, yeah.
Yes.
Several of our people have passed now, including Fred.
Mm-hmm.
And Sonny Stevens.
Sonny Stevens,
Tracy.
Tracy's
gone, too.
Really? Wow.
Yes. He was the first, in fact.
Yeah.
Probably 8 years ago now. Yeah, he had cancer and passed. And Sonny was about a year and a half ago now.
I think it was the Truckers Network that was our first introduction to Keith Bilbrey.
It was. And how about,
you're right, yeah.
We shared so many terrific guests with you, Gene.
Yeah.
Remember, I'm thinking about BR549.
Oh, of course.
They would come over to do
and
the
Mavericks.
Truckers, yeah, and the Mavericks, the Truckers Network, and they'd walk right across the hall to our studio. Yeah.
Yep. And then, you know, speaking of the Mavericks, Raul Malo's health has not been good. He's in pretty serious shape.
And in fact, didn't they just announce this week that they had to cancel their tour for a while?
Yeah. He's had new wrinkle in his ongoing health challenges. Yeah.
I'm very worried about him. I was at his wedding party right across the street from Tribune Tower at the hotel there.
Mm-hmm.
The guys were in town, and they said, you want to come across the street after your show because we got something special tonight? And I said, oh, what? And they said, we're not telling you, but come across the street.
Those are some fun times, Gino.
Yeah.
They really were.
Good memories, Gino.
Yeah.
It's part of my career.
Thank you for joining us tonight, and be safe, and stay in touch with us.
Feel some virtual hugs.
Yeah, some Chicago hugs.
I've got them. Thank
okay.
you. Good to talk with you.
Take
Call
care.
Anytime.
All right, take care, hon. Bye-bye now.
Oh, boy, yeah, those were good times. He's one of the good guys. Let's turn our attention to Andy Kim, Rock Me Gently. I had some great conversations with Andy Kim, but I didn't realize till you pointed out to me that that song was 50 years ago?
51 years ago today.
The heck?
It climbed to number one on the charts.
Great and it's, song.
It sounds good today.
Oh, it still sounds great. Somebody should redo that. That's a
no,
great
no,
jam.
No. Do not touch that. That's Andy Kim's song.
We got to find out, because I just saw within the past month, Andy Kim is alive, well, and
yes.
touring, and we got to
yes.
get him on the air.
Yes.
I interviewed Andy, this would have been back when I was at WLTH in Gary. Interviewed mm-hmm. him a couple times. Great interview, great guy, and I have loved all of his music.
I just came across his real full name.
Okay.
Androwis, A-N-D-R-O-W-I-S, or is it Androvis?
Okay.
Joachim. So that's where the Andy Kim comes from.
Okay.
Joachim is Y-O-U-A-K-I-M, Canadian. I guess I always thought of him as being a one-hit wonder, but he had Baby, I Love You.
He had Baby, I Love You.
1969.
He also had a really interesting song. This was back in the Nixon years.
Mm-hmm.
When Richard Nixon, I believe it was when, after the second election, I believe. And if you remember, Richard Nixon's daughter was
mm-hmm.
Trisha.
Mm-hmm.
His song was called Trisha, Tell Your Daddy.
That's right.
And it was a really well-done song, basically saying to the daughter of the president, you should whisper a few things mm-hmm. in his ear that we're kind of concerned about.
So you talked to him. How come I didn't know, being a big fan of the Archies, that he had something to do with the Archies?
Oh, he did. And I'm trying to think of what.
Sugar Sugar is one of the things that he had something to do with. And I was like, well, wait a minute. I loved him and I loved them. And I had no idea that they.
Reason to track him down
yes,
to get him on the show.
You're absolutely right. So it was on this date that not only did Rock Me Gently make the top of the charts 51 years ago, which is, pardon me, really hard
Ouch.
To believe. Yeah, that was just my head hitting the microphone. It was on this date in 1957 that the number one hit was That'll Be the Day.
Buddy Holly.
Yeah, the Crickets. Which is, I mean, again, you're talking about some great music. On this date in 1968, the number one song was Hey Jude.
Okay.
That's pretty cool, too.
Never one of my favorite Beatles songs.
Because it's just been done over
yeah.
and over and over again. Yeah. It was on this date that one of my favorite cartoons, because coming from Tennessee, you got to love Tennessee Tuxedo. It debuted
okay.
on this date in 1963. And I remember, I got to watch Tennessee Tuxedo.
You do that.
It's my song. This is Drink Beer Day, which comes in handy if you're watching a football game. It's National Good Neighbor Day, which it used to be the fourth Sunday of the month. It's National North Carolina Day today. And a listener pointed out we're talking about bad weather in Arizona. They're looking at some really serious weather hitting the Carolinas.
Yeah.
So they're getting prepared for that, especially in North Carolina. It is World Rabies Day, and it's National Strawberry Cream Pie Day.
World Rabies
yeah,
Day?
To bring awareness
wow.
to... Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
And it was on this date in 1850 that flogging was outlawed in the Navy.
Okay.
That was 1850. Just a few of the things that happened on this day. But it seems to me, back to the business of it being National Strawberry Cream Pie Day, it seems like this is not strawberry season. You know, I'm thinking...
No, not so much.
Yeah.
No.
Had a funny conversation with, or read a funny conversation with someone who was headed down to Florida and said, yeah, I can't wait to get to Florida to get some fresh oranges. And I thought...
Yeah, little do you know.
We've never been able to get a, quote, fresh orange in the panhandle of Florida.
They export all of them.
Yes. Or they import all of them because they don't have them. And then when you go to buy your carton of orange juice and it's over $10 a carton, you realize, that's not being made here. Mm-mm. So anyway, it was a funny conversation. People saying, I think you've got a vision of Florida that's not quite right.
We should remind the class of a couple things.
Yes.
One, get your dial and finger ready, because in just a couple minutes, we will be looking for our last call. So you will try to dial 312-981-7200. And if you are the last caller, you can win some goodies from this here radio place. As long as you haven't won anything within the past 2 months, 6 weeks, whatever comes
60
closer.
Days.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Some of those things. That's why we have separate checkbooks.
Only, hey. Mine is never, ever, ever wrong. It will always, it's been right for 40 years.
Johnny always rounds off to the next highest number,
not the lowest number. So I'm always going to have money.
I, on the other hand, actually want to be aware of what the real total is.
When was the last time you wrote a check?
I'm aware of what the total was the last time I wrote a check.
In 1997.
We should also remind you that next week we don't have a full show.
We don't.
We will be starting 10-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get on the air next week, one of our guests will be Tommy Emmanuel. He's going to be in the area, appearing not next Saturday night, but we'll talk about his appearance on October 15th at Conn Auditorium. And he has a new album, Living in the Light, that is coming out that we will be... we'll probably play a cut or two from that.
He's been incredibly busy, too.
Yeah. Tom Appel will join us. We will talk about automotive things. And
I'm sorry. I'm chuckling to myself because I'm going back to a woman that I was in contact with regarding Tommy Emmanuel. And she said, well, why do you have to have him on so late? And I wrote back to her and I said, do you know Tommy Emmanuel? Do you know that the man doesn't sleep? He's been in our house. He does not sleep. I said, he did so many of our radio shows overnight. We'd have him in at midnight and literally kick him out as Spike Odell would be coming into the station.
Tommy has stayed at our house several times, and we're on the second floor. He's on the first floor. And it'll be 3 in the morning, and we'll hear Tommy calling friends around the world or playing guitar
music,
or whatever.
Yeah, that was a real treat, too. So she wrote back to me, and she said, oh, yeah, that is Tommy. You're right.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you having him on so late? Well, number one, the show is that time, you know, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, we kind of like to have him on when we're on.
Yes.
Just silly us. Okay. If you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200. That number again is
312-981-7200.
And we're going to say, if you want to have something pithy to... I know, I'm smelling something, too.
Do you smell food?
I do.
I smell beef stew. Who's eating in there? Are you eating?
Becca, you having beef stew?
I swear to
Jordan,
God.
Jordan, you having beef stew?
Suddenly, it smells so good.
You guys got beef stew in there?
It smells like something's on fire in here.
Well, that's not good.
Oh, none of this is good.
Well, no, beef stew is good.
Well, beef stew, but we don't want it to... Okay, I'm going to stop talking, and we're going to...
Wow, we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Yes. So do something while we get to the bottom.
Becca went on a fact-finding mission and found out
Becca,
that...
Becca, what did you find?
I found Bob burning a bagel.
So that's why Bob, Big Plug Bob, wasn't on his Zamboni, because he was burning a bagel.
And here, all I could smell was beef stew. I was like, whoa, who brought in the beef stew?
Well, bagel, beef stew.
I will say that's the second time somebody toasted something tonight, and then we were just down the hall being like, is something on fire? We need to call someone, and then we check, and it's just somebody using the toaster.
Yeah, we're on the 18th floor. We kind of need to know if something's on fire.
Yeah. Something would be nice.
But Becca's...
Because it'd be a bit of a reach for them to get the ladders up to the 18th floor of this building.
They'll figure it out.
Becca told a funny story yesterday about your garbage disposal. Was smoking.
Yeah.
And so she just opened the bottom cabinet and she sees the smoke. She calls the fire department and says, but when you arrived?
By the time I got to the, from the 911 dispatcher to the fire department, by the time I got on the phone with them, it already stopped smoking. I was just like, I mean, it stopped, but like if you could have someone check in, that'd be cool.
But just don't use a siren.
But please don't use the sirens. I don't think it's so. You just
because it was after 11 o'clock.
Because it was after 11 o'clock at night. I'm not trying to be rude to my neighbors for no reason. So there's this big old fire truck just gently driving down a dark street. I'm just at the end being like, "Hi, I'm sorry."
Did you make him a bagel?
No,
burned a bagel.
I should have tried that.
But they came in and said, you did the right thing, just in case.
Just to make sure.
Yes.
It's like, I'm not the only one that lives there. I don't need to be burning down an apartment.
I just moved here.
I just got here. It's a little early.
For those of you just joining us, Becca is our panhandle producer.
Mm. And we are going to get you a business card saying panhandle producer.
And she's hanging out with us for a couple days here in Chicago. And we're just talking about the fact she's going to hit the road and drive 1,000 miles back on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Not all 1,000 miles.
No. You're not crazy. Like we are.
Like we were.
For 40 years, we...
1,000 miles.
The whole way.
16 hours.
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Walk in, sit down, do a radio show, and go, my body is vibrating. I have just been in a car for 16 hours. Yes. You know?
We should get to our last call.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Becca, since you are our guest producer, you get to pick the number of the caller that we will go to tonight.
Okay. Do I get a range of number choices?
From 1 to... One
to 100.
1 to 100?
No,
actually, it's 1 to 97.
1 to 97. Okay. We're going to go with 56.
Okay, number 56. That would be John. Hi, John. You're on WGN. Where are you calling from?
Hey, good morning, Steve and Johnny. This is Johnny from Warren, Michigan. I'm the guy who just graduated high school.
Yes, I know. I've enjoyed your text almost weekly, keeping us up to date. You even sent us a picture of you in cap and gown, right, John?
Yep. And right now I'm in community college. I'm almost done with that.
Uh-huh.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I got about a year and a half to go in community college, and then... See what goes on with that. Thank you for having me on tonight. Kind of late for me here. It's about 3 o'clock my time in Michigan.
Yeah, that's right. But you tune in every Saturday night, John, and that's very sweet of you. We really appreciate it.
Hey, my Tigers won today, so I'm happy.
Oh, don't rub it in, John. Don't rub it in.
The Cubs are also my other team. So.
Yes. John, were you born and raised in Michigan?
Yes, I was. I was born and raised in the east side of Detroit. I went to Catholic High School.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the same high school as John DeLorean,
mm-hmm.
Diana Ross,
wow.
Jack White, Big Sean.
Wow.
David Ruffin went to Catholic.
That's a pretty cool high school.
We
had like 8 floors.
Mm-hmm.
The old building had 8 floors.
Cool. Did you have to walk up did you have an elevator?
We had an elevator. Because of my heart condition, I had an elevator pass.
Ah.
So I had one class on the first floor, and the next class was on the sixth floor. So I'm making beelines to the elevator. Really pissed my friend, really get my friends angry about it.
Yeah.
But at least I got the class.
But you never had an excuse for being late at class, though, because you had an elevator pass. But I have to ask you, John, since you were born and raised in Michigan, have you always listened to GN, or how did you come to find GN as your radio station on the weekend?
I used to be able to pick up the old fashioned radio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The signal on at night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I listen at night. Now I have my iPhone, and I listening to the iPhone.
Oh, very good. Yes.
I know we still do have listeners the old-fashioned way up in Michigan.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Well,
I live in Warren, Michigan, right outside of Detroit.
Yep. I look forward to your text on the weekends, John. And thank you.
I love your scream.
Well, thank you so much for listening to us.
So you are a member of the Johnny Scream fan club.
Oh, yeah. I am a Johnny, too. So I'm turning 50 on New Year's Eve.
Oh God bless you.
Well, you're just a kid.
To Chicago.
Yeah?
Yep. I'll be coming back to Chicago, take a train.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a virtual student at the Second City Comedy Club.
Wow.
That's kind of fun.
That is wonderful, John. Well, what you have to do as we get closer to your birthday, you text us and we'll just give you a special birthday shout out. And in the meantime, Julian's going to get some info from you over there in Warren, Michigan.
So just hold on for a second.
And we're going to send you an official WGN Radio t-shirt. And I want you to wear it in good health, and congratulations on all the good things that you have achieved this past year.
Yeah, that is huge.
Yes, and thank you for sharing it with us, too.
So again, a reminder, next week we start a little late, 10-ish, and Tommy Emmanuel will join us, as will Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. So, Becca, this was your first trip to this here radio station. Mm-hmm. Any lasting thoughts?
The view's really nice.
It is really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a good studio down at WKGC.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, it's very impressive equipment and things that are going. You just don't have a view.
Yeah, no, it's the only thing. It's the only thing you'll have, among other things. But but don't tell them I said that.
Right. Yeah, this is very impressive up here, and sometimes it can become distracting because you're like,
yes.
Whoa, what am I looking? Oh, wait, I got to be on the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
So I will share that when the show is over, one of the things we're going to do, because we had some listeners who request a picture of Julian and Becca,
mm-hmm.
and Becca immediately suggestion was that they do something. In fact, you wanted to throw something at Julian, and Julian, you grabbed the stapler.
We were just brainstorming. That was just a brainstorming session.
Let's shoot some staples at her.
Okay.
Yeah, he's really good at that for some reason. You should probably look into that.
Well, we've actually had a fun night tonight. Our thanks to Paul Seabar for joining us. That was really fun.
And we should mention, too, that some Paul Seabar videos will mm-hmm. be up, not immediately, but Julian was doing a how many camera shoot tonight?
77.
77 camera shoot.
I was here. I saw them all.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Four cameras.
But before we put up Paul Seabar videos, we've got the videos that he's finished from Terry White from last week.
Yes, some wonderful videos.
Yes.
And they will be surfacing within about the next, give it 2-3 days.
And we talked with our buddy Gene Christensen out in Phoenix, Arizona. A lot of people were wondering about Raleigh James because she lives up. I did not know she lived in Globe. I knew she was in Arizona. But Globe is the town that has that crazy propane tank, hundreds floating. And I've reached out to her. We have not heard anything from her. But just, you know, be listening to her on, she's going to have tales to
Monday
tell
night.
On
Boy,
Monday night.
Boy, is she going to have tales to tell.
Yeah, so we attempted
and
to
tell
get
her that
her.
We were, you know, that we're concerned about her, so we want to know how everybody's doing.
Yes. And listeners were also interested in Max Armstrong with what's happening over in North Carolina. I said I've reached out to him too, and he said we're just watching the weather, just waiting, watching and waiting, and we're prepared for it. So, well, thank you all for being concerned about the rest of the gang.
Yeah. This has been a night. Becca, thank you for hanging out with us.
Of course. Happy to be here.
And Julian, thank you. And Bob, who's burning his bagel.
That would be big plug Bob, who couldn't even drive the Zamboni while he was burning the bagel, which smelled just like beef stew. But we're going to have spaghetti when we get home.
We're out of here. Stay safe.